of all, how do you react? I have a mini meltdown until I can figure out a solution to get back on track.
Yes. I don't need any
easy answer.
Okay. It's a mini.
Question 12 of 13. You're at a party. What are you doing? Talking about current events in the corner, having way too much fun and regretting your choices the next morning, working in the room to make sure I've had a chance to talk to everyone, or singing, or two more left, singing Don't Stop Believing on the karaoke machine, just for Keith, I guess.
Can I do all of these?
Finally letting loose after a stressful week.
I'll go with the doing horrible things and regretting them later.
All right.
That was what I picked. Because it's true. Only I say horrible things.
You say horrible. Say horrible. Yes.
All right. Actually, all right. You have to look at this one. This is actually a puzzle answer.
Oh, okay. All right.
You have to choose the right answer to that.
Oh, it's a math.
It's a math right problem. I forget to answer. Okay. So, let's see. 9 plus 21. Wait. A squared plus B squared. No, 7 times 7 is 49. That's 56. Squared 50. God, I'm so bad at math right now. Why am I so bad at math?
This 49 this plus is engaging.
9.
This is
engaging.
Yay! Yeah, I was getting there. She was just accelerating it.
Oh, my fucking... You are Sheldon Cooper. You passed a big...
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Nathan.
Nathan is secretly...
Hey, so welcome to episode 56 of Crippled System Podcast.
Fucker.
And you got the bobblehead to go, and you can tell Nathan. People, this is who I am.
Nathan, who are you today?
Angry. My name's Sheldon Cooper, and I'm the annoying main character on the worst show ever.
I'm Bernadette, and I am the cutest character on the show.
I thought her name was Penny.
No,
Bernadette's cuter.
Oh, they added more female characters because, you know.
There's actually three now. It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
And I'm sure none of them are stereotypes.
Bernadette is only 1 foot tall. It's amazing. She's like...
Yeah.
But her breasts are 3 feet long. It's a good ratio.
Everything about Bernadette is awesome.
Google.
I'll Google it for you.
Okay. Sadly, I didn't take the quiz, so I'm just Jeremy.
That's just bad enough.
Yeah, it's horrible enough. You're part of your own horrible sitcom. This is Andy Major Tusk. I didn't take the damn quiz either.
And this is Brian. I don't do quizzes. I only read them to people.
You only read them to other people to make them accidentally pick Sheldon.
Oh my goodness!
Isn't she gorgeous?
Oh, I would. Yes.
And I am just as gorgeous.
Yes. No, yes. I can see why you said you were her. It's purely a physical comparison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nathan may watch at least a minute or two of the show now. For the investigation.
Nathan will be back
character
in a few minutes.
Oh.
Speaking of Googling.
Nathan will be in his bunk.
Hey, Sheldon doesn't know what that would be. So.
What?
Sheldon wouldn't know what that is, and you're
He's
clearly Sheldon.
He's an asexual person.
Sure he is. At least that means you won't breed.
Might accidentally. Might split into two.
Like an amoeba?
Like an amoeba.
There's a... Was it Stephen King or Dean Koontz? There was some crappy short story by somebody that I read in the 90s where there was a redneck who drank beer that had like some mold on it, and he basically turned into an amoeba and was splitting. And,
that's
and
weird.
He was gonna, yeah, it was weird.
Was it the
weird.
Short story where they turned themselves into a plant?
What?
Through lipstick?
No, that's not. That's an actual book that we talked about.
I know it was weird because we both don't know the title of this book, and we were talking about it, and it's like,
I know that book. It's a book we read like as children. It's like very much a children's book.
My ex and I had a moment like that where we both had read a book about a bunch of aliens who came to Earth to try to get a pig, like not a live pig. It's a little statue of a pig that there's like an international competition every 10 years to get this thing, and it was on Earth this time. And, like, I mentioned this. And, like, this boy, like, it ends up, like, you know, it's in his house. You know, like, I forget, some galactic council just hides it somewhere. It's like a scavenger hunt.
Sure.
And so all these horrible bounty hunter monster aliens are coming to get this pig.
Nice.
And, like, my ex had also independently read that when she was 12.
Yeah. Now I need to find out what that book was.
I'll
read.
Google.
People who turn themselves into plants using lipstick.
Well, he turns the teacher into plant using lipstick.
Well, but he turns into a plant.
Yeah, but he eats, like, something out of a blender to do it.
Well, yes, and then he uses that.
Seems like a complicated superpower.
It's not a superpower.
It's
like
gunk.
He's doing a science experiment for class and accidentally turns himself into a plant.
Because there's that episode.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Was it in Creepshow where the farmer touches the thing and turns into a plant? Yeah, that was Stephen King himself.
Yeah, yes.
As the character, yeah. Yeah. Creepshow was good. Had a Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
We're seeing Creepshow 2.
I don't know which one of the two he's in.
Yeah.
I think he's in a normal Top Creepshow.
The Tide's coming in.
Oh, that is it. That's totally it.
Top Secret? That's a great movie.
No.
No, yes it is.
Well, maybe, but...
When Alan Brewster, a fourth grader, decides to discover human photosynthesis for his school science project, his irritable teacher, Mrs. Green, calls his idea ridiculous and assigns a lipstick project instead.
So he murders her.
So he figures out how to do the plant thing and then turns it into lipstick so that he turns her into a plant.
And murders her.
I know, she lives.
So she's like Swamp Thing?
No, she gets like hauled away by the FBI or something.
She just needs, like, the only difference between her and a person, she's not like an actual plant, she just needs the sun and water to live as opposed to food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she subsists on photosynthesis instead of food.
Well, that just seems handy.
And has green skin.
Seems like they should just do that to everybody.
And right. And if you stand in one spot for too long, you take root.
You start to take
root. Well, sure, if you roll a one when you activate, you take root, and then you can't move again until the drive's over.
Yeah. Don't take a long. Don't sleep too long. Wake up.
Or until you're knocked down.
Right, or until you're knocked down.
Yeah, then you're not taking root.
When they stand back up, they're not taking root anymore? I just Correct. Thought it was the whole drive. I haven't played Halflings in forever.
Nope. It's just when they're knocked down. When they're knocked down or the drive ends.
Yeah, but who's knocking down tree men?
People that are stuck next to them.
I guess so.
All right. Fair enough.
Moving on.
That was an interesting segue.
It's Blood Bowl.
Yeah. I believe you.
Take root is a thing that happens to tree men sometimes.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
All the big guys have a horrible bad thing that happens if you roll a one that fucks them over, and theirs is that they take root. And then they can't move for the rest of the drive, or apparently until they're knocked down.
Yep. So if you accidentally stumble into them.
Yes. Well, that's intros and announcements. Do we have announcements?
No, we have announcements. There's all sorts of tournaments coming out.
There's a tournament this weekend. It's also Super Bowl weekend. And it's also my niece's birthday party weekend. It's exciting stuff.
It's her quadrenera.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
At least she's three, you said?
Four. Well, she's got to be four.
She's three now.
So at least when a kid's four, they understand gifts better.
She loves gifts.
I've people who are like, my child's one, let's have a big party. The kid is like, I don't know what's going on, and everyone has to reschedule their life around it.
Yeah, we did Christmas presents with them, and her niece definitely is all about understanding presents.
She had so much fun handing them out.
Yeah, she was actually really enjoying giving them away, too. Yeah. Which is cute, because a lot of kids are just like, me, me, me. She actually enjoyed seeing other people open presents.
It was adorable, because this weekend, she had a tiara, and she handed it to my dad, and then he went to go get it, and she snapped it back, and was like, ha, ah, ha, and then she did the same thing with bacon, and my dad fell for it.
Well, who wouldn't fall for that with bacon?
I would have smacked her, though, for the bacon part of it.
Yeah, right?
Rather, you have to...
You don't tease her bacon.
She's a man with bacon.
Yeah.
It's bite your hand off. She'll have a dub before she's five.
I knew some people who had a birthday party for, like, their one-year-old, and it wasn't even the right month. Because, like, the kid doesn't know.
No.
Like, they just figured out a weekend that everybody's available because they didn't want to be the person that you hate, Brian.
Yeah.
So they're just like, everybody free this weekend? Cool. That'll be when we celebrate. And the kid doesn't care. He got some cake.
Yeah.
He just smashed a cake in his hand.
Like, he doesn't even really eat the cake at that age. No. He just kind
of
wears it.
You have two cakes for your child's first birthday. One to put in front of them so that they can just annihilate it, and a second one that you cut up and feed to people.
Yeah, makes sense.
Should not be the same cake.
Or you cut a piece and give it to them to annihilate.
Yeah, that you can do too.
Yeah. Either way, you don't let them annihilate the cake people are going to eat.
Right.
Or you just have a different kind of dessert for people. Wine.
Wow. Wine is a great dessert.
We're learning a lot about you tonight, Katie. Wine is a dessert.
And an entree. And a side dish.
And you love to make bad decisions at parties after drinking heavily.
Kid doesn't know it's going to bed after the cake.
And you're going to bed after the wine.
Especially if you mix up the gifts. You give the kid you eat the cake. You're eating cake. Oh my God, the wine.
Kid's drunk a whole bottle of it.
They'd go to the hospital.
Yeah, they'd throw it up pretty fast. I'm sure.
Yeah, something tells me their probably body is not prepared to digest that.
Anywho.
So there's that this weekend. There's other tournaments coming up the following weekends that I know of.
February 8th, there is an event in Rochester, Minnesota, 50-point tournament. Some of us will be at.
Yep.
Maybe even some of the Minnesota people from the normal the Minneapolis area will maybe be coming
if
down.
If we go and they don't, wow.
It's only like an hour and a half from them and it's 3 hours from us. So, right. I mean, I imagine some of them will be there.
Dice Dojo is a tournament as well on the 8th.
On the 8th.
Yep. I think Cheddar Caveman's running that one, he said.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
I think so. Him or Felix.
He had posted his event. I probably would have... I normally go to Dice Dojo quite a bit. It's a nice store, but I probably would have hit the Minnesota one just because I want to go to Minnesota to see some of those guys.
It would be cool to see the Minnesota guys.
I mean, that's Professor Lust's home area.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, I haven't seen Professor Lust in a while, so... Is he coming this weekend?
I believe
he posted
so.
That he yes. was. Yeah.
Is he? Okay.
He is need will be here.
Well, then I don't have to see him in 2 weekends. I can see him this weekend.
Well, you're also driving to the Rochester event.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Where are we?
Yes, we discussed this.
I remember. Just
I drove to Chicago. You're driving. We're taking turns on a 3-hour drive.
Damn
I
it.
Won't be there.
If other people paid all the gas and bought me food and paid my entry fee, I would drive. I have a nice big car with a huge trunk now.
That is, I've heard that. I haven't seen it, but I've heard that.
Yeah. We could all fit in the trunk.
I am not going to a tournament on the 8th.
And this time, if we go to... The last time I went to a Minnesota tournament, I had to use a fake name in case of police questioning. This time, I would not go to prison if I was caught in Minnesota.
That's exciting. High five.
Yeah.
You did that same problem at the Mayhem Cup, and then we got pulled over, and you were mildly nervous.
I was mildly nervous. it was Mayhem Cup.
It was like Mayhem Cup like 2 years ago.
Yeah, now I can go wherever I want, and it's not a felony.
Moving up in the world.
Yeah. Hey, are we the first podcast with that?
So there are other... Obviously, tournament season is upon us. Lots of things are happening. TempleCon's in two weeks.
On the 8th.
Also on the 8th. So, like, tournament season has begun. For those of you that enjoy going to tournaments and bemoaned the fact that there's the long dead period, it is over.
2014 dropped, so everybody's
yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if February 22nd, there's going to be an event up in Oshkosh, a little 35-point event, March 15th. We haven't posted it yet, but it'll be up probably a day, I'm assuming.
It'll be up tomorrow.
And to be running a 50.3 list, kind of.
March 15th. Are we running that one at Misty or PEG?
It's at Misty Mountain.
So it'll be a larger sign-up then, I assume.
As much as we can fit in.
Yeah.
Basically what they want. We're going to be running it as a Masters type, so it'll be a three list.
So, three list, play each list once?
Yeah.
When is this one?
Like Masters type.
March 15th.
March 15th.
Okay. I'm out of the loop.
Well, I found out yesterday at the tournament.
Yeah, Andy found
out. I wasn't complaining. I'm just saying I'm out of the loop. It was a statement of fact, not a bemoaning.
It was both.
All right.
I don't know why we're still discussing this. Any other tournaments coming up?
That's probably, but
September 6th. Dice Jojo is having their War Machine Weekend qualifier.
Yes.
Playing on September 6th.
Yes.
Dice Jojo, War Machine Weekend qualifier.
Yeah. That one's a week
May
away.
9th through 11th
is the one
to be
in
the
St. Louis.
War Machine Weekend qualifier. Yep. I'm just giving random dates events later this year.
He's just throwing things out for the rest of the year, apparently.
All right. What's the next topic?
Toonie. I forgot the R. So there was a Toonie.
There was a wonderful tournament that happened yesterday over in Grays Lake.
Mount Prospect, Illinois.
Well, as we call it, Chicago. They always get.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically Chicago.
Yeah,
suburb of Chicago.
It's spelled
bad. I was offended
by
your comment, by the way.
The one about Chicago smelling like
Illinois. Yeah, your wife is born and bred in.
We crossed the state line, and suddenly it stunk. The air from outside stunk.
Yeah, the air from outside smelled the moment we crossed.
First, we confirmed no one farted because obviously that's your first guess. So you're like, who farted? And we're like, nope, none of us farted. Because I mean, someone would have took honor for that.
Oh yeah, no, I'd have been proud of that one.
Where did you guys cross the state line?
At the border of Wisconsin and Illinois.
I mean, like there's 90.
Minus Morgul.
But if you guys aren't going anyway.
Yes, we're on 90. And yeah, it smelled real bad.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Illinois is the worst state.
That is pretty true.
It was like eye-watering, burning sensation smell.
Kansas is just boring. Illinois is bad.
Right, exactly. There's boring and there's actively terrible. Like, I'm sure Kansas isn't infested entirely by Illinoisans.
Okay, New Jersey.
She has a point with that. That one's a tough...
Jersey is kind of tough, although it's illegal to pump your own gas in Jersey.
That is true,
which is interesting.
I think
it's a good place to live if you're lazy.
Yeah, Jersey.
So now you have to tip somebody for tipping,
or you just don't tip them because I used to get my gas in Jersey.
It's Jersey. You think people tip?
Yeah.
I mean, we are forgetting the other bad state, Iowa.
Yeah,
Iowa's pretty fancy. My nephew said so.
Pretty fancy.
Also, Florida.
And I mean, all of Indiana's not bad, but they have Gary. Which is right up there.
For Jeremy's benefit, are we just going to insult all 52 states?
All 50. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate that.
Jamaica's the worst state.
In all 8 continents.
Yeah, in all 8 continents. It's hard to keep your facts straight.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Jeremy's incontinent.
Oh.
Oh.
See, that's a pun. Because it's poop related, and continent was part of it.
So, not to change the subject in any way, but...
That's not how puns work.
That's not how puns work.
Oh.
We were definitely at a tournament yesterday. It was originally announced as being schedule your faction ahead of time and don't change it.
Hey, could you change your faction though at the last minute, even though everyone had planned for?
Well, let's summarize here a little better than that.
Okay,
the event was posted for 20 people. They wanted everyone. The registration was going to lock. I think on Monday or Tuesday before the event, you had to post your name and your faction.
Yep.
That was the locals wanted to try something different. They wanted to try something, and there was some like rumbling about it. I had asked some questions. I was worried about people kind of net decking their stuff, but you know, whatever. That's what they wanted to do.
Yep.
So then they posted like here are the 20 people who made the cut. These are the lists. Yep. One of the weird things was there was no cricks.
Yep.
Which was amazing. People were like, wow, my second list could be whatever. I don't need to take an anti-cricks list.
Yeah, I don't need a list.
How often do you go to an event where you don't need to worry about cricks?
Can I just interrupt for something? This is totally off topic. We've been playing Lords of Waterdeep with Beanish, and then somebody named CW Baby Shooter.
That's Casey.
I don't know who Casey is.
Oh, you met Casey. Anyway,
have I met Casey?
He's the guy who's crying in Minnesota as soon as he just heard that. He's like, oh.
No, okay, well, okay. Here's the thing, Casey. Beanish won the last two games, and you just were like, here, Beanish, here's an orange cube.
No, I saw that too. I was going to say, I was going to add to the podcast. Yeah, people, when we play, Beanish seems to win a lot of games because the people who either are idiots, and that was, I'm talking about Dan, because Dan's learned now. Or Casey, he's like, he lives up there, so they're helping each other out.
Well, he's won. Okay, help somebody else out.
Yeah, Beanish won two of the last three games. You don't give the guy who's winning the games more resources. But anyway.
So those of you that don't play Lords of Waterdeep are just really confused right now, but that's fine.
So 20. Now there was one person on the waitlist who may have brought cricks, but it was someone no one recognized. A tournament player bringing cricks or a random person playing cricks are two different things.
Yes.
But anyway, so a lot of us were saying, oh, we don't need to bring our anti-cricks list. This is kind of cool. Yep. I can bring two whatever lists.
Nope.
We get to the event.
Well, wait. Just to give an example of what you might do if there was no cricks in a tournament, let's discuss briefly what Andy brought in his list.
Oh, yeah.
How many colossals did your two lists have, Andy?
Well, I would not have brought my Gorton 3 colossal list. That would not have been one of the ones I chose to possibly face against cricks.
Especially when your other list is also a colossal list.
Yes, as well.
Okay. Four colossals altogether is what I heard.
Yeah. True statement.
So the event starts, and Jordan Nock was signed up as Mercs. He had been saying how he was going to play Mercs for the year, which is cool, because he was just trying to expand, and Mercs is pretty powerful, and he wanted to have fun with that.
Yeah.
And he showed up with Crix, and I was like, what, Crix? I thought you signed up as Mercs. He's like, yeah. And the reason he brought Crix is he wants to practice for the Mayhem Cup, because him and some people are traveling down to Texas in a month, and they're trying to refine their list so they can make the trip worth their while. He's like, yeah, so I changed my mind and decided to bring Crix so I could practice my list. I'm like, but the event was not, that wasn't part of the rules. And then the TO's like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was pretty bull. I mean, you if you advertise an event to be a certain way and you have people traveling 2-3 hours to come to your event, that event needs to stay as advertised. Changing it at the last second is just not...
Yeah, we've had events where you try to run something and realize it was kind of a crappy idea, but like, well, it's too late now, it's the day of the event, now we have to go with what we said, and we'll change it for future events.
Yeah. Yep.
And I've seen other events do that where it's a good advice for anyone, for anywhere, don't change your events the day of the event. If you were at a convention, and someone's like, oh, this event has these rules, and you're about to start, like, oh, we changed the rules 5 minutes ago, now it's all this other way, you're like, but I just planned around this whole thing.
Yeah,
I mean, this was a local event, it was still fun, I
still had a good time, I just...
It was weird.
It's not like it was somebody who had driven 3 hours, got there and said, oh my God, I left my stuff in the trunk of the other car. I have none of my stuff here, but my roommate brought extra K-Door stuff. Can I run K-Door instead, please? This is someone who lives 5 minutes away who did it on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah. He basically went around saying that he was going to be playing Mercs this year.
Well, he could have put like Mercs / Crix if he wasn't sure.
The TO did not allow it.
Said you had to pick one.
Because Andy wasn't sure what he was going to do, and Andy had to pick ahead of time because Andy was debating factions, so Andy got stuck into one.
I'm flighty. I
knew that about you.
Yeah. I'm flighty. If I don't want to play Mercs this weekend, I just go by what I feel. And being locked into it, it kind of felt like I was being forced to it. And then I had to face somebody who was able to circumvent the rules.
Yeah.
And that was not fun.
Yeah. And I even mentioned, even as much as it was annoying to me, I really wanted to face Crix player because I'm trying to get my anti-Crix list some more work. So it worked
out. We'll talk about more.
Yeah. We'll go more because I actually ran into Jordan Nock in the event, which I'm very happy that I got to experience some things and get to realize some mistakes on my list on how I can make things better. So, personally, I was happy to play Jordan Knox Crix because, it to me, it would be a much harder challenge than Mercs, but it was weird that they just made the last-minute change. So I think that organizers need to stick with their format the day of the event. You can't have last-minute changes.
Yeah, I would agree. And it's one of those things that you are in a tough situation when a lot of people complain about something, and you're like, well, then I kind of don't want to do it anymore. Once it's the day of the event and you know you have people that are coming from more than 5 minutes away, it's too late to change your mind. You may want to change your mind. You may change your mind next time. It is too late to change your mind for that event.
Yeah.
And that's the point. So anyway, all that aside,
16 players did end up showing up.
Yep. It was 16 of us exactly. Four round event, which we were excited about because a 5 round event would have meant really long night.
We would have got back at 3 a.m. if it was a 5 round event.
Which would have been brutal.
Yes.
So do you want to talk about your list first, Brian? Because you're all excited to...
Well, I mentioned it before, so it's pretty simple. My Xerxes brick list, Vorak Urari, two Incendiari, Titan, Tiberian, and Gladiator. My second list was a Mordekaiser list. I had my Mammoth, Slingers, Incendiari, Annihilators, and a Raider from the Beast. I thought that'd be enough shooting to really slow down Crix, as possibly just, you know, with my shooting, my feet, the defense, and more shooting, I figured I could really chew through a lot of things. Having Hollow on a unit, having Banishing Ward on another unit can really keep myself safe from a lot of shenanigans. So that was kind of my list concept there. My Xerxes list is I'm still trying to play Xerxes against everything else but Crix, so I can just kind of gauge his good and bad matchups.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I tried to. I guess my first round was actually one of my funnest games I've played in a while. It was versus Ben Lang, who brought Butcher 1, the No Quarter theme, where he had three units of black dragons.
Yeah, I think it's like Tears of the Dragon or something.
Yeah, it was like some crazy. I actually put a bunch of pictures on the Museum Minis post already about it, but basically he had like just an insane amount. He had two Devastators, the Armor 25 Jacks, and like 36 black dragons running around because he had like the three man unit of dudes. Great Bears. He had a couple of solos. Yep. I went first, but he his whole army advance moved. And he basically just, he just basically ran his whole army into my army. Butcher 1 feats and just kills an insane amount of my army. But then I feat back. I killed his Devastator, both Devastators in one turn. Tiberian dropped one. Xerxes and a couple models dropped another one. And then it was a grind fast. Eventually, I got ahead, but I killed, I mean, I only had like, eight or nine, maybe eight models left, and the game ended, and he was down to just a Butcher, so I won by scenario.
Yeah. And, I mean, admittedly, two of your models that were left were your Gladiator and Tiberian?
Yeah, Tiberian was just, I smashed his big things, and I positioned my army constantly so he can never get a lot of attacks on those models ever again, because he was so far, so he could never charge me, so he can only advance and attack, and my Tiberian was able to just hold off wave after wave at that point, and was just clearing house.
Yeah.
And then he did kill seven of my eight Incendiari and his feet turn, so my AoE was a little bit less positioned as well, but I was still able to set enough things on fire constantly to wear down his attacks.
Yeah, and the list that you brought, the difference between your list and his list is your feet means that your guys are super more survivable to turn after you feet. His feet just lets him kill things, and your feet lets you kill things just as well.
Yeah, that +2 armor effect really came in handy, where suddenly all my guys are 17, Tiberian's up to 23. I mean, that little bit really made it.
Yeah, D-line on Tiberian is not cool.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Ben Lang, we could, could we segue? Yeah.
No, sure. That's later. That's he can later. Wait.
You're going to wait? You're going to stay?
Oh. He made me wait. He can wait, too.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was a nice little segue that we could have did.
Nope.
And it would have made you happy.
She's making Ben wait. All right. So you guys want to do your round one list or whatever?
Sure. I'll talk about my round one real quick.
Well,
I faced Jordan Knock round one.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
There, I'm done. I took my Durgan list. He just jammed everything in front of me. That's basically what you do. I was really heavy in the AoE, so I had nothing really to answer the witches for. And he ended up taking on Scenario.
Yeah.
So
Gatsby won. Gatsby 2, right?
Yeah, it was Gatsby 2, obviously. I mean, there's... Yeah. Whatever.
And, I mean, I saw the end of the game. Like, you were pretty much out of death clock too. Like,
yeah, I just stared at my at the table. I mean, that's if I don't feel into the game, I'm just going to stare. I'm going to waste your time. If I know I'm going to lose,
you're going to ponder.
Yeah, if I'm going to lose, I'm just going to sit there and make you wait while I lose.
See, what I wonder if I'm losing is I want to wait. I go to the bathroom. I walk away. Then my opponent walks away. I run back and hit the death clock over to his time. And then I go high so he thinks I'm still awake. Then I watch him across the room. Oh, your death clock went off. And then he realizes he death clocked himself.
That's tactics,
that's,
Kyle.
That's sportsmanship right there.
It seems like if you knew you were going to lose, you would just... I mean, for me, I would just try and get it over with as quickly as possible.
I didn't feel like I had... I mean, I...
It looked like... Honestly, I walked by the table and it looked like... Things weren't going terribly for you. Like, no. Yes, you lost on scenario, but you had dug your way back into that game.
Yeah,
by the end. You were just out of time.
I just didn't know what I could do to really hamper his army any further. I mean, I did pretty much remove almost all of his troops on there. I had some bad rolls trying to take out the sea captain and the Blood Witch. Blood Witch actually wasn't doing much on me. But
yeah, Blood Witch doesn't really matter.
But it just took a long time for me to run through my turns because I just sat there plotting through most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was my round one. It was fine.
So I didn't do very well my round one either. I played versus one of our locals, a guy named Josh. He was playing E-Magnus, and I think I mentioned last week that I'm pretty rusty. I haven't played in a while.
Why didn't you play on Wednesday?
You could have played on Wednesday.
I could have played on Wednesday. Why didn't I play on Wednesday, Katie?
I don't know. You just appeared home.
That's weird. That's really weird.
I told you to go back out and play with your friends. Uh-huh. It's bothering
when
you.
He was on his phone talking to you, the look on it was such a good thing. It was like, because he walks into the store. I get to play for the first time in weeks. He gets his models out. He's like, I'm going to wait for Nathan and me. Nathan can record a game together. It's going to be so much fun. Then the phone rings, and then he kind of Charlie Browns with the corner all like, and then he's just all like, and then she's, you can just see him, I can come home. I don't need to play a game. And he's just all talking how excited he was just a minute before the phone call from Katie saying, I'm lonely, come give me attention. That's what I assume she said. Is I'm just, come give me close. Attention. I could go down and hang out with you guys in the game show because you're there every week. But no, I know you haven't played in a month, but you know, you should come home this Wednesday.
Some long lost relatives you hadn't seen in years came by to visit, and they were only there that one night. So he reason that you did this, right, Katie?
That's correct.
It wasn't you just randomly kind of felt like you needed attention?
That's correct.
Okay.
So anyway, for reasons that I can't peer through the depths to understand, I was out of practice. It was weird. So I was playing against E-Magnus. I also haven't played against E-Magnus in forever. Like, I just never see E-Magnus on the table. But I played pretty well. The turn that lost me the game, he killboxed his side and then what was my right side of the table. And so I could only retreat away from him into the left, which was fine. I retreated my caster away. I shot the underboss, lit him on fire, but didn't kill him. He toughed. So he was knocked down on fire. And so I was hoping the fire would kill him. And then I moved my caster back. And I had a scything that was just sitting there. And I was like, you know, I'm going to move my caster back. So one side of him's up against a forest. They can't really Pathfinder to get at me with the Kazi because then they're not fearless. And my Thagrosh list, every single model causes terror. So they would have to take like three terror checks and would have just... totally broken. So, of course, I backed the Scythian up to block off the other side of Thagrosh. Except that's not what I did. I left the Scythian right up at the front line for no apparent goddamn reason.
Good job.
Yep. So he got three Kyazi on me, and I ran out of transfer. He shot me with two Renegades, and Magnus's Calamity Spell, and three times with the Galleon, and then it hit me with two Kyazi, and I was at one health with zero transfers, and lo and behold, that last Kyazi also hit a knocked down Thagrosh. Go figure.
Who'd have thought, guys?
Who'd have thunk it? So
Casey O'Brien, Focus and Fury?
Yeah.
I just friended you on Facebook to make up for the fact that I didn't know who you were.
So anyway, live and learn. Clearly what I should have done was back the Scythian up to protect Thagrosh's other flank. Also, live and learn. The scary thing with Magnus's feet is not when the two sides that make a corner are picked. If he'd picked front and back, I'd have just been straight boned. I would have had no options.
Front and back are horrific.
Like I would have been terrified.
Yeah, you don't pick.
You can pick.
Yeah.
Oh, you can. Tactically, it's almost never correct to pick perpendicular edges. You want to pick either left, right, or forward back.
Yeah,
correct. Because that's
and in the situation we were in, options. In the situation we were in with a bunch of guys with assault. He did not want to pick he did not want to pick the sides. He wanted to pick forward back. Thagrosh would have had nowhere to go. I could have dirtled around a little bit, but I wouldn't have been able to put anyone in front of him to lock the Kyazi, and I would have just died.
But well, you did anyway.
I did anyway, but that was because I was an idiot.
Right.
So, anyway, that was my round one. Did you want to go with your round two, Brian, or should I?
My round two was Jordan not get lost. No, it was, but I actually, as so I played my Mortal Kombat list, I was like, I still kept my anti-Kricks list in because I still wanted to play because I was trying to tweak it out, which was, you know, the man, like I said, the man had the mammoth and all that in there, and I just realized that I took out the Willbreaker, so I lost one attack on the mammoth because I added the Incendiary Eye, so I thought that I didn't need that extra AoE. Turned out that I really could have used that extra AoE, and. With EGAT, and I, because I had three units on the list, so even though I had one hollowed, one Banishing War, he was still able to kill Incendiary Eye.
So there's Incendiary Eye, Slingers, what's the third?
Annihilators.
Oh, Annihilators.
So he was able to still get an Excarnate off on me early, and which put him up. I mean, it was going to be a really bad game anyway, and I deployed a little bit, I could have deployed Butter, but... And he got to go first. Which, I mean, when you play against Kricks and it's Gatsby and they go first...
It's not good.
It's always stacked against you. I mean, that's why I find Gatsby can be such a boring caster because it's predictable. But Kricks, Scorn doesn't really have a great answer. So I've been like really thinking about my. But I'm glad we played because if I wouldn't have played, I still would have had some confidence on the list. So I was able to realize it had some flaws. And he plays as Gatsby differently. Because since he's going to be going somewhere with his list.
Yeah, you don't need to spoil
it. I'm not going
to
spoil his list in case he's going to, because he's going to be fighting for the Midwest.
Yeah.
But,
It's a Gatsby list.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, he has some changes to it that are unique.
And but I've been thinking about Kricks so much with my Mortar Car list. It's like because when you think about Kricks, you can't just think about one type of Kricks. You have your Gatsby undead army. You have your jam list with Styx's Raiders that usually undead runs, or you have a Coterminus down the middle with a million souls off your army, and trying to build a list that can kind of counterbalance all of that into one. Like some factions can be like P. Haley, or they can just do whatever and they just solve the problem. Right. That's interesting.
Yeah,
I'm still going to try Mortar. I've been thinking about putting some Immortals in my list.
Really?
Well, Immortals. Well, first of all, they have magical weapons. So if you jam, like if the
they're non living with magical weapons. Those are two good things against Kricks.
Yeah. Well, because the a lot of Kricks players just run the Sea Hag unit at you super fast. Like I'm incorporeal, you can't hit me. Well, Immortals are just going to slaughter those things.
Yeah.
And then if I take them, I'm going to have probably like a car who has a magical weapon, and then I can take some other stuff. So I'm actually going to take Drakes.
You were mentioning that.
I'm going to put a pair of Drakes in my next list, and they have magical sprays.
Which I did not know the Drake spray was magical. It makes sense.
When do they scream?
Just like that. Okay. So yeah, I'm excited for my version 3.0 of my Mortar Car list. I'm very excited for, and I wouldn't have got to that list if Jordan wouldn't have played as Kricks. So even though it was kind of obnoxious, it helped me personally.
Yeah.
So I like.
And one thing I wanted to briefly mention: three of the scenarios we played at this tournament were very, very similar to their 2013 counterparts. But round two, the round you played against Jordan, it was not.
Correct.
It was Balance of Power, which is a completely new scenario. It has the what's unique, even in 2014, ability to remove control points from your opponent. Did that come up in your guys' game at all?
He actually was. He got up on me. If I would have had a better situation, I was actually going to start putting my caster forward because the part of where the flag was for me to dominate actually was. I actually cleared a lot of models out. So if I thought I had a better chance, I would have actually tried to stay there and actually. Take away his control points. I felt like I was not going to lose that game on control points.
Okay.
I was going to lose to, like, Gatsby feeding and kill my mammoth.
Right.
Which is how, isn't it?
So you... Did you lose on control?
He removed my mammoth pre-feed, so I just... I basically forfeit. I lost it. I gave him... At one point, I was shooting off his Bane Thralls, and I misclicked on a Bane Knight. So I killed one Bane Knight. And,
Oops.
And I just thought it was a Bane. I mean, to be fair, a Bane Thrall has an axe and a Bane Knight has a spear. And they're very obvious models, evidently I was blind in my eyes for a moment. Geez. I'll kill that Bane Thrall. And it was a Bane Knight. I'm like, I guess I'm...
Killing one Bane Knight's usually good.
It's the best thing. Yes, kitties, your hand up.
There's a video online of people shooting cats with their finger guns.
Yeah.
And the cat's going, and falling over to the side and then stretching and it's adorable. Because you said you were shooting them up. They remind me of it.
All right.
Continue on.
Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and the thing was also right before lunch, so I was like in my pre-lunch game, which meant I get to like relax the rest of the day and Xerxes it out the rest of the game.
That is true.
And then that was my round two.
Yeah, my round two consists of... I ended up deciding that I'm not going to play anymore. So I'm going to take my Durgan list or my Gorton list for the rest of the day. And my first opponent was Baldur 2 for that. And he had a decent Baldur 2 list. It, Roots of the Earth is a thing.
It's a spell that Baldur 2 has.
Yep, it's a spell that he has that prevents movement. And Gorton has got a feat that makes it so you can slide things.
Yep.
Yeah. It was very apparent on turn two when he had his megalith, his wold guardian, the yep. frenzy, yep. yeah, the frenzy guy, and his warp wolf alpha, all in a line, all ready to go to three Earthbreakers. So I go up there, pop my feet, and try to pull him in, and he's like, "Oh, they got roots of Earth," and I'm like, "Oh shit.
Nothing happens."
So the only thing that gets pulled is the warp wolf. Everything else is minus defense. One Earthbreaker, he even says, too, is like, "You can take that back if you want, or I can move him back." I'm like, "Nah." So I move one Earth, the right-handed Earthbreaker up. He kills off the warp wolf, the alpha. Then the other Earthbreaker goes up and shoots a bunch of things. And then the third Earthbreaker that was right next to Gorton runs up and hides Gorton. It pretty much goes down the wire. I'm eliminating things. I didn't realize that he had empathic transference as well. So on my final round, I sent the Earthbreaker into Baldur and the Megalith, who was at like 2 health points. And I thought he was going to start transferring damage to the Megalith because that was the only model that had Fury on it. Nope. He started transferring it to the other one. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's not
good. Because it has empathetic transference.
Empathetic.
Sure.
It feels bad.
Feel bad for him.
It was a very pathetic transfer.
It's like the Deanna Troi of Beasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I couldn't take him out, and I ended up losing that game then, too.
Yeah. That's rough. Roots of the Earth, Ron also does not particularly enjoy that particular spell. Tends to get in his way real bad. Did you find anything interesting with that scenario, or no?
We didn't even play the scenario.
It didn't even matter.
I think he got so excited about Gorton right in front of him, mm-hmm. That he was trying to kill me through the whole time.
Fair enough.
I think three Earthbreakers turns the scenario off.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I will say, though, I was pleased at the fact where the scenarios, even though I had like three Earthbreakers, I still felt like I had a presence on the field with all three of them.
Well, that's good.
As compared to, like, you know, when you're talking about, like, incursion, where if a flag disappears, then, you know...
He's just doing nothing.
Yeah, if the middle flag in the previous version disappeared, Gorton would be screwed.
Yes. That is true.
But in this one, I can actually, you know, maneuver enough to
yep.
take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I played Chad, Cheddar Caveman, on the forums. We played on a table that had a giant forest in the middle of the table, so almost the entire zone was engulfed in a forest, which would have been really good for me, except I'm apparently really bad at picking lists. So against a list that had Epic Kruger and Druids, I decided that I would take Pythagrosh, who just my list had no gink. I had a bunch of speed 5, range 8 guys with assault that under his feet couldn't charge and went nowhere, and the whole game couldn't shoot anything they weren't in base-to-base contact with, pretty much.
That's good.
Yeah, it really wasn't, as it turned out. So I lost that game at deployment. That was just me being dumb. I should have picked my Saren list. It would have been way, way better for me. But that's fine. We played the game out, and it was going actually fairly well. I mean, Thagrush is still a monster at attrition. He had no RFP, so I had the ability to bring back whichever beast he killed that I wanted to. And then, for whatever reason, I played Thagrosh just way aggressively forward. And Chad even stated after the game, he was like, "I was confused why you had Thagrosh so far forward the whole game." And he finally managed to get himself around the forest, which was massively in his way the whole game. Finally managed to get himself enough around the forest to, like, TK me and Druid me and use Megalith to gallows me and just pulled me in, and Gedderix walked up and just beat the crap out of Thagrosh. And had he not killed me, then Epic Kruger was also in range to just charge me and, you know, take 7 attacks. And doesn't he have whatever it's called, where you keep hitting them once he hits you once?
Kruger 1. Well, they both have it. Oh. Kruger 1 has it on his melee weapon. Kruger 2 has it on his ranged weapon.
Oh, okay. So he could have charged up. He still was going to hit me because I was turned around and minus 2 defense from Megalith Animus and all that kind of crap. So
Megalith Animus?
Megalith Animus is minus... is rough terrain in 5 inches and all enemies are minus 2.
I thought you were turned around because of his animus.
No.
And I was like, that's interesting because I never knew that happened.
That would be amazing.
I pop my animus, you turn around. That'd be a pretty amazing animus.
That'd be a great animus. No, I was turned around because of TK. Because I had the aggression way too far forward. And I didn't need to. Like, at that point, he was down his pure blood, and Meglith was at least... I'd put an entire heavy into Getorix. I did 3 damage because my dice betrayed
me. Don't get bloodthirsty.
But
when you're winning, don't get more aggressive. Get less aggressive.
Right. I was in a good position attrition-wise.
We talked about that
we
before.
Have. That was in very early Katie's Corner.
In my game against Ben Lang, when I finally got up on him in the army, he had to bring Butcher into the game, and I could have taken Xerxes into Butcher, but I'm like, no reason to do that. No. So I just walked Xerxes away.
Even if it's
away.
90% going to succeed, just don't.
Yeah.
It's like
if I don't do it, I automatically win by scenario in a turn, or I risk the whole game right now. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, and I mean, I wasn't like in a dominant position. I was maybe 55-45 on attrition, but I was up. I did not need to have that aggressive that far forward. And I mean, it was Killbox, I think. It's Balance of... I actually just had it open. I forget if Balance of Power has Killbox or not.
That was... No, it was not.
It does not. Okay, so there was no reason for me to have that aggressive.
Mordekaiser was on like the 2-inch line.
Yeah, so I don't know why I had him so far forward, but I did. Mistakes were made.
The end.
Wasn't that Katie's Corner about how you shouldn't play your guy too far forward?
That was the same one.
And then we went to the end. In lunchtime, we went to In-N-Out Burger. No, we went to Five Guys.
Five Guys. We did try to find a Long John Silver's just for you, Nathan, but we failed.
It was one close
no,
enough.
No, we didn't fail. It was just one, not one close enough.
Well, we failed to find one close enough. Yeah.
We were going to take some pictures.
Hooray.
Andy's
pointing at numbers that are too small for any of us to read.
Other people can read it.
Point is... We're not Muse on Minis. Go faster.
Yeah, our battle reports are...
Nobody cares.
People care.
People care.
I don't know that they do.
But slightly faster caring. Andy, is this that old Pirates game? What the hell are you punching out here?
Whatever.
Is it the old Pirates one?
Round 3, I face Chad, who had just faced... Chad is, you know, I always want to face Chad from Iowa because he always ducks me.
Yep.
So now I get to face Chad from Chicago. And I'll say Chad is about a fourth of a person of Chad from Iowa, which you'd think would be an insult, but I think highly of Chad of Iowa. So really, most people I would say is only one-tenth
of Chad. He's my favorite Chad. Iowan.
So that's a compliment to the Chad, you know, in Chicago.
Really backhanded compliment.
It was. That's a compliment. He played Boulder 1. I played Xerxes. I learned 2 things in that game. One, Xerxes does not want to face the Boulder 1 matchup. He was killing my models much faster than I was killing his models, and with his feet, he was just going to attrition the living shit out of me.
Yeah, Boulder 1 feet is rough for you.
And I also learned that Chad did not realize that Kirari can drag. So I CRA'd Boulder forward into Tiberian and Xerxes range and killed him. But if I had not done that, I think I would have needed a really crazy second half of that game to pull it out. I mean...
CRA drag is one heck of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It caught him completely off guard.
Did Wagner have CRA?
I don't know, maybe.
Okay. Could he have prevented it if he had known that it was a thing?
Well, he popped his feet in back, and I'm like, he popped his feet really far out of range. I'm like, why did he pop his feet? And then he teleported himself right in front of my army because his feet negates path. You can't have Pathfinder's rough terrain.
Yeah.
So he knew there was no way I could get to him. And he was, you know, so he figured I couldn't charge him or hit him. And then I was like, okay, drag.
Yeah,
and then he's like, "Oh, you can drag," and then I just killed him.
Okay. Without the drag, Brian was super dead.
I would have had I would have lost everything but Tiberian, my gladiator. I would have gone. I mean, it would have been a very rough game for me to try to pull out. I mean, I pulled it out in that scenario, but in situations, but it would have been really rough. So I'm glad I didn't have to go down the crazy road. So that was my round 3.
Crazy.
My round 3, I ran into a convergence force with Cintharion with my Gorton list. I scalpeled out his Arknode and his threat.
The little solo, or the member of the 3-man unit? Or
no, no, it was just...
Units aren't solos, Jeremy.
Yeah, it was the Arknode. And then the other one was his threat.
But I thought they were solos because there's only one of them.
The 3-man unit, yeah.
There's one.
They have an actual Arknode?
Oh my God.
No, I really didn't know that.
The solo, yeah. The 3-man unit are not an Arknode.
It's the solo that's
Arknode. Solo, okay. The guy who's carrying a giant thing on a stick, that giant thing on a stick is an Arknode.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Sorry. So I scalpeled out that and scalpeled out his threat.
It's hard because those guys are defense 15, assuming they're base-to-base with a jack.
Not so much when you hit them with the earthquake.
True.
And then the other jack that enhances threat range. I can't think
Diffuser.
Of it. Yes, and I took that out.
Jack.
Yep, I actually took that out with Gorton. He had 9 points left on it.
And Gorton charged in.
No, I just double barreled it and killed it. And that basically was the end of the battle. He turtled up with Cintharion. I moved up with Gorton. Popped my feet.
Did he have a Prime Axiom, or did he just have a bunch of other jacks?
Just a bunch of other jacks, a couple ciphers, and the other one. But I ended up popping his feet. moved everything to the left. And I moved Syntharion first because he was behind a block of Jack's. So he bumped into his buddy Jack, and then the everybody else moved out of the way. So he was like left by himself with two Earthbreakers
within
range. Yep.
That's bad times for Syntharion.
Yep.
Jeremy said we can't play with those anymore.
You can play with them. Quit sticking them in my ear.
We're not going to clarify what he's talking about.
No, we're not.
All right.
My
rounded game.
I'll try to be quicker. So
try to be.
I dropped Saren because I had to drop her once that day against Butcher 3 on the new incursion where only the outside flags disappear. The game went pretty okay for me in that I jammed all my beasts into his face, killed a bunch of stuff, and feeded, and then he was sad. But then he wandered up and was Butcher 3 the next turn, and Butcher 3 was like, oh, beasts, I kill all of them. And unfortunately for him, he had mispositioned himself so that he wasn't contesting either of the two flags, and he'd already let me have 2 points. So Saren ran to the outside flag, Solo ran to the inside flag, game over. One thing that we did wrong, I realized in retrospect, was I put a lot of effort into and eventually succeeded in killing one of his two-headed dogs, which was the only model contesting either flag. Only it's a member of a Warcaster unit, so it doesn't contest crap, right?
It contests. It's not a Warcaster.
Okay, so it's only...
It is not a Warcaster.
Yeah. So it's good that I put all that effort
contest.
In then.
It can contest.
So we put a lot of effort in. I did manage to kill it. I probably wouldn't have if he'd remembered that Black Dragon had Precision Strike, because I had one of the things I put into the dog was a Nephilim Protector that had been engaged by a single IFP. The IFP hit it. The IFP hit it fairly hard. He did not choose a column, and he managed to not cripple any systems. Had he picked the 5, I would have been out of spirit, and I would have been effed.
Yes.
But he didn't. I didn't know that. I didn't know they had Precision Strike. I thought that was only on the regular IFP for some reason. And
no,
apparently I had that completely
opposite.
Backwards.
Yeah, it's on the Black Dragon.
And he just didn't mention it the whole... Like, we played the whole game. He was hitting several of my beasts, and he never brought it up. But he had just forgotten. So.
Oh, my goodness. No, you just don't roll the location die, and you always say, to the 5.
Yeah,
to the five.
Yeah.
To the 5.
Yeah. Well, and he never cast Silence of Death either. So he was, like, hitting me with IFP that should have been picking their column, and he should have been not letting me heal, and he was doing none of those. So I think he's probably not used to Butcher 3.
Probably not.
Because we talked about his list a bit afterwards, and we kind of theory-crafted some pretty significant improvements to his list, I think.
Gotcha.
So.
Cool.
Last round.
Last round, I faced Nick, who plays Circle. He had Baldur 2 and Morvana, both casters I wanted to play with my Lucy's list. He ended up picking Baldur 2. And Roots of the Earth, while I can't drag them... I found that Xerxes' feet plus fury is greater than plus 3 armor.
Yes.
And I would say it's a very generic Xerxes game. I set a lot of stuff on fire, and then I just he charged at me, killed a couple miles, and my counter charge was just too much for his army to handle. And then I eventually overwhelmed him. I mean, that's like 70% of my Xerxes games. Move forward, do some shooting, set things on fire, get charged, take some percentage of casualty. Whatever remains on my feet turn just does such damage to my opponent that they can't recover typically.
It's funny to me that you talk about a generic Xerxes game, because when I think of generic Xerxes game, I think like Gladiator, what is the other, the Titan that slams?
Bronzeback.
The Bronzeback, a Gladiator, a unit of Stratrati with Defender's Ward on them, walking up the field as slowly as humanly possible. Like, that's what I think of when I think of a standard Xerxes game.
Well, you know, 4 Accurai and 2 Incendiary, that's my standard. I don't know that.
Until you started talking about this list, I would never have considered anything except that as a Xerxes list.
So that list is now in 2 tournaments. I'm 6-0 with it, so I'm pretty happy with the performances. I now know I don't. Baldur 1 is the thing I will try to avoid. I need to get it against some Menoth matchups. Hopefully this next weekend I'll be able to fight some Menoth. And some Ravana 2. I imagine one of those two is going to kick its butt in, but I want to just run it against it. I may even throw it against Crix at some point just to see. I think in some ways it'd actually be kind of hilarious. Not all Crix casters, but if someone has like 2 casters and one's not Gatsby 2, I'd be really tempted.
You might see that with the new Denny 2 theme force.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm confident we're going to see at least 2 versions of Denny theme that theme force. So I have preparations to deal with that. That's why I like when people get these new shiny things. They're very predictable, so you can counter them before they even get on the table. Travis, I'm looking at you.
What?
I don't know, Travis. I've lost my last 3 games against Crix with Scorn, so if this is the time for Travis to beat me, it's next week.
It'll never happen.
I'm just saying, this is his time. So that's my...
It's our time, down here.
And I ended up... I went 3-1, and I ended up getting a second.
Goody's reference.
Nice.
Which was funny, because I made fun of those guys last week. I said last week, it's just a... Just a bunch of random Chicagoans and Jordan Knack, which is not really a bunch of random guys. A lot of those guys are pretty cool down there.
We knew several of those guys, yeah.
But I made a random joke last week about that, and they called me out for it.
That's true.
Apologize.
This bag I found is the exact same size as my Kindle Fire. So there we go.
All right.
That's exciting.
Okay. Nice. So my last game was against Josh from local Madison. He had a crazy McBain list that had all jacks. For some odd reason, he decided to run it with all jacks. He
just ran jackhammer spam, whole bunch of nomads.
It was supposed to be a bunch of nomads, but he doesn't have a bunch of nomads, so it wasn't.
So it had a whole bunch of jacks. But anyway, he ran it towards me. I moved forward. I popped Durgan's feet. I moved all the jacks away from Gordon's. McBain.
Yeah.
Gordon's feet. God damn it. Why can I not differentiate those two? But anyway.
One's a dwarf.
Yeah. Both of them are fucking dwarfs.
You don't know who they're fucking. Keep their personal life out of this, pal.
Maybe it's in the fluff. And you
they drink enough that they probably don't know what they're fucking.
Pop the feet, killed McBain. That was it.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Jeremy, go. You have 30 seconds.
Pythagoras. I played a guy I hadn't played before named Tom Patton, local Chicagoan.
Patton Oswalt?
No.
Okay.
He was playing Epic Balder. I had just attritioned the crap out of him. Like, it was at the end of the game, he had Balder, 2 infantry, and a pure blood, and I had my army. Like, it was bad for him. It was a very unusual list. It had no shifting stones. It had Min Tharn with both UAs. It had the Tharn Bloodweavers. The thing that I learned that game was the Bloodweavers are fucking terrifying against Legion Beasts. He charged in with a unit of Bloodweavers and straight killed a Ravagor with 6 cheap-ass stealth infantry models. 5 of them. I'd already killed one. I shot one, and I was like, oh, it'll be fine. My Ravagor can handle these 5 infantry gals with daggers. And they ran up, and they were all like, we're all poisoned. Bloom! No more Ravagor. Well, shit. So, yeah, that happened.
Weapon Masters hurt.
Yeah, turns out, didn't know that they were, you know, gang, poison, blah. Yeah, that was uncool. So, I don't know why I don't see them more, having seen what they do.
I don't know either. Bloodweavers are good.
Yeah, they seem legit.
I don't own them, I don't think. I don't know. They could be in my stuff that Andy had. Andy, do I own them?
No.
No, I don't own them.
Okay. Hooray! So anyway,
but yeah. Good game.
We got back at 1 in the morning. It was pretty great. Oh, we went to IHOP. It was closed.
It was closed. It claimed on the internet it was not, and then it was.
Because somebody wanted to go home.
It was 24/7, and it was closed. I was like, but it's not 24/7 over.
And then we were going to just get a drink at a gas station and hit the road, and then all of a sudden this crazy man infested Brian's body and almost ran through the gas station gas pump to get to a Denny's he'd spotted across the street.
He sometimes drives the wrong way down one-way streets to get to a Fazoli's on the way back from Adepticon.
It's an annual tradition. If I see a Fazoli's, I'll go whichever way I need to go.
He's driven the wrong way on one-way streets several times.
At least, Fazoli's, it's not. It's
twice that I've been in the car.
Yeah. Fazoli's.
Neither one of the ones that I was there for were Fazoli related.
I remember one of those times. You and Jordy got all like, oh my God, we're on the wrong side of the road. Like, it's only like a minute. I saw the turn ahead of me.
We only went 1 or 2 blocks the wrong way.
I knew my destination. It was a shortcut. And they're like, oh my God, this car's coming out of. Oh,
no. It'll be fine, you guys. Don't even.
Like, oh, I can't see out of your window. Your car is all. Oh, we couldn't see out of my window half the trip.
Most of the passenger. Trip. That's the blood of the pedestrians.
Yeah.
Driving down State Street.
It's a shortcut.
Can Katie do her thing now?
Yes, Katie can do her thing right now. We'll skip the other topic because it wasn't actually anything important.
I had a present.
It's from Ben Lang.
It's from Ben Lang.
It's a belated Christmas present.
Oh, I was going to guess that it's something War Machine related. That was my guess before I started to open it. Let's see if I'm correct.
I don't think you are based on the size and shape.
Alvin and Dexter. It's toys!
It's the UFO and the dinosaur for trains.
I think it's right. Monster expansion.
Yes.
I've never seen an expansion for tickets.
I have. They're in all the stores. They sell them.
Yeah, but not... These are different, because the other ones are like different routes and stuff like this. These guys...
are like a legit... Is it for the base game or the Europe game?
It's
your game.
Well, I'm sure...
It's a dinosaur there.
They're probably universal.
Rawr! I like presents. Thank you, Ben.
Is that your UFO sound effect?
Woo, 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 woo.
And that's your diet. Wait, your UFO is like a Dodge Dart that can't start in the cold.
I was thinking of Nova, but yeah.
This is even cooler than just normal toys that I could play with.
Although, you're probably going to use it the same way.
Well, right now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, they're just gonna, right now. Professor Farnsworth's doing push-ups.
Yes,
and Nibbler is standing on his neck.
Yes, Katie has been playing with Nibbler, Professor Farnsworth, the whole podcast.
While she's doing that, I'm going to touch on the other time. Oh no, go on, go on.
I was going to say he's got to add weights. That's how you get better at push-ups.
That is true. Somebody had asked us about the Candy Crush thing, and then they post something on our Facebook wall. Turns out the King Games, in addition to making shitty games, are also shitty people with a shitty grasp of the law.
Well, I don't know if it's a shitty grasp.
It's a shitty. Can we trademark this word?
I'm pretty sure the grasp of the law is whoever has the gold makes the rules, yeah. Which is true.
I think they probably understand it just fine.
They tried to go for the trademark. They're like, we want to trademark the word saga. And the government's like, no, you can't. So they tried again, and they're like, no, stop it. You're being stupid. You can't have the word. So now they're just suing people who use the word, even though they don't have the rights to it.
It's kind of funny.
Like, what complete shitholes. Like,
it is. It's a very shitty thing to do.
They've actually trademarked candy.
They're trying...
They've done candy. If you look at, so the saga is one thing. Candy they've actually got approval for. You look at the list of what they've actually tried to trademark for candy. It's insane.
Point is, their games fucking suck. Stop playing them. Don't give money to these asshats.
Counterpoint, Katie.
I don't have one. I mean, I would not pay for their games.
People do. They make millions of dollars a day from people giving them money to pass these
microtransactions. It's the future.
I'll give them a dollar to pass this level. Don't! Just fucking don't! God damn it.
There was... What did somebody try and trademark? It was a while ago. Did somebody try and trademark... Oh, Donald Trump tried to do You're Fired. He was going to trademark that. And they told him no.
This is in Murphy's Rules, which is a hilarious collection of weird rules in games. Way back, like in the 80s, there was a Indiana Jones role-playing game, and LucasArts trademarked... Based on that, they tried to claim trademark for the word Nazi.
Wow.
Because it was their proprietary villains in their mythos.
In their mythos?
Yeah. Their Indiana mythical. Jones mythos. That's like, he fights Nazis, TM.
Like, that's pretty funny.
Yes, it's a shitty thing to do, but people try and trademark things all the time. They're the company that Jeremy works for. There are other companies that are competitors, air quotes, that just go around inventing things and then suing everyone else for taking their idea, and they win because people won't fight them back. Yeah. So they can't afford to, so they end up getting a bunch of settlements. And they're just shitty people. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's a little funny. A little bit.
I don't like shitty people profiting from being shitty.
They're not profiting from being shitty. They're profiting from being rich and shitty.
That is true. That is
because
true.
Because if they were poor and shitty, they wouldn't be profiting.
That is true. Yeah. Awful people.
Yes, they are awful.
It turns out being rich allows you to be a terrible person.
Yeah. Speaking of which, a perfect example of a loophole in my New Year's resolution for this year. I hope that every executive in King's Games is raped to death by a bear.
Nice loophole.
That would be funny. Different bear for each one. Like, one gets grizzly, one gets a sun bear, one gets a panda, which aren't technically bears, but I'll allow it for this circumstance.
I will only agree if the bears wear hats, what they're doing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
just
have to.
Jaunty derbies and fezes and monocles. Like, they're gentleman bears that just go to town with their needle sharp guard hairs and just fuck you, King Games employees. You shitty, horrible people.
To be fair, again, probably most of the employees aren't as shitty as the like five people that are rich and powerful at the top that are doing these decisions.
Right, those are the people.
Yes.
If you're a random programmer who invented this crappy game, fine, whatever. You the bear apocalypse will pass you by.
So Daily Show, speaking of money, Daily Show, they ran a report. They pulled a report.
Speaking of money.
You said all the rich people.
Yeah.
Right. There was a report. I forget which newspaper posted it, but where it was.
The 85
people. 85
people
are worth have wealth of half the planet.
And then the guy's response was, well, we've given him something to aspire to.
Yeah, I'm sure the, 3.5 billion people, in Uganda and Somalia who, they're like, oh, well, look how rich that guy is. I'll pull myself up by my bootstraps.
Uganda, nothing. I'm never going to be that rich.
No, but like, you're the kind of person that they're fooling themselves. Like, if Jeremy Shea just pulls himself up by his bootstraps and works hard and does his 401k and blah, blah, American dream. But the people dying in gutters in these, you know, like, with warlords pillaging and taking all the, like, they're not aspiring to be the next Steve Jobs. They just want to not die today.
I shouldn't laugh. But.
It is, yeah. Yeah, their top 10 of things they want to do in a day is different than our top 10 of things that they want to do today. Their top 5 are not be killed, raped, murdered, stabbed.
There was
maybe find food.
Yeah.
That's somewhere near the bottom. Laszlo's hierarchy of needs, fascinating thing.
Yeah. There is a depressing Onion, one of the side article headlines, you know, that doesn't have an article, it's just the headline, that it was a Sudanese 8-year-old has midlife crisis.
Terrible.
It was terrible.
That's awful.
But, it's one of those, like, it's one of the glorious things of satire that you can cut to the heart of things with humor. And that's just like, oh my god, that's depressing because it's true.
Yeah, that's terrible but true.
But hey, if he bootstraps him up and appears on an episode of Celebrity Apprentice, he can be part of the 85.
Onion also has a slideshow of it, of 8 insanely cute child soldiers.
Yeah, wow. Actually, that might not have just been a headline. That might have been a full article, because I'm remembering him talking about, like, his years of service in the military and stuff like that. Like, I think it was a full article. Oh. So, in short, fuck Candy Crush.
Sure.
Whatever, Sheldon.
Yeah. Bojangles! Panny, you know math!
Well, here's the thing that's actually behind this. Like, you get people who are who are legitimately out of touch with what's going on in the world, and then you get people who are, you know, doing the lending to the people who can't afford it. And you have to, what kind of psychological trick are they playing on themselves that this is okay to do? You're actively ruining someone's life, and you know you're ruining someone's life, but it's cool. You're just going to go home to your life that isn't ruined that night. And then you're going to go back to work and do the same thing tomorrow. Like, I don't know what kind of, like, it's the same thing with the Nazi soldiers. Like, I'm going to shoot this guy and then go home to my wife. Like, it's, like, I don't know how people do that. It's called
cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, I know. I just said I don't understand it. Like, how you can, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because nobody ever thinks they're the bad guy. Like, you literally, like, the human brain does not ever.
That person would have, if they were smarter, they wouldn't have asked for this loan. It's their fault.
Exactly. The kinds of thoughts that they have.
But these, you know, these people obviously, well, and then if you go back to the Candy Crush thing, the lawyers who are, you know, sending these don't do whatever and stop it.
Don't use the word saga to describe your Viking tale.
Yeah.
Which, I forget, if you look in the dictionary and look for Viking tale, I forget what the word for that is. Oh, that's right, it's saga. It's but, not candy moving.
But you know what I mean? Like, the lawyer that's sitting there writing this letter is like, he's got to know this is a dickish thing to do.
You would think.
Hey, they have to protect their intellectual property.
Like, I understand why the guy at the top is, because he's getting paid and he can be a dick and he doesn't care. But
he wants an 8th boat.
Yeah, he wants an 8th boat. But the guy who's doing the paperwork for it, what is he thinking that he's like, this is cool, this is okay,
Because he's not making the decisions to do this. He's just doing his job, and he has a job, and he wants to collect his paycheck and go home to his wife. Like, that's what most of the Nazi soldiers said, was, like, it's not like, I wasn't planning this, I didn't have any grand scheme to do this horrible thing to an entire people culture. I just had a job, and I did what my superiors told me, and I collected my paycheck, and I went home like a good little citizen.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they said.
And they weren't punished at all, because that's not a good excuse.
Anyway. Well, actually, most of them weren't punished.
Well, a lot of them weren't.
There's a lot of tribunals.
There were.
Well, and the Nazi example is very extreme, and I don't mean to be insensitive about it. It's just, it's a good way to illustrate the cognitive dissonance.
I will say the reason that you'd say comparatively few were punished in the Nazi example is that there's a difference between the Nazis and the Wehrmacht. It's not like every single German soldier. Male with a gun in the front lines at Normandy was murdering Jews at Auschwitz. There is a difference here.
Yes.
But yeah, like, the people in Auschwitz and stuff like that, they got fucking punished for it. I mean,
most of them did.
They got their comeuppance. But there's a cognitive distance. Yeah.
Dissonance
there. And, I mean, there's the Milgram experiment. There's the Stanford Prison experiment. There's people have done research into why people get this way, and it's because humans are fucked up.
Yep.
I mean, it boils down to that. I mean, at least they're following orders. You know, like, you get the Stanford Prison experiment. They took these kids from college, and they took, like, 100 of them, and they made a fake prison. And they give 50 of them, chosen at randomly, inmate uniforms, and they gave 50 of them, chosen at random, prison guard uniforms. And it was supposed to be like a 2-week thing where they were basically in prison, whatever, and they had to cancel it after like the third day because there were riots and escapes and brutality where the guards were just beating the shit out of prisoners because they were guards. And these prisoners were fucking prisoners, and they deserve to be treated like shit because they're prisoners in prison. So, and you're the guard with your nightstick, you're above him, and he deserves this. Wow. And so these people, there were riots and brutality and all kinds of stuff within days of these classmates. They knew each other. Like, they were just randomly given different uniforms, and that's just because people's brains are fucked up.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? Special pleading. How often do people, to justify their activity, whatever they're doing, and you're like, why did you do that? Why do you think you should be allowed to do that? Why did you get to park in that handicap stall? Why did you get to do whatever? And the answer is, I'm me? People say I'm me as a justification all the time. And it's never a justification, but we all fucking do it.
Yeah. I just don't get... It seems like at some point some logical piece of us would step in at this point, you know, in history and say, this is not right.
People are dumb.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway.
That lawyer who's drafting that bill below the Candy Crush people is getting paid for it, and he's like, well, whatever. I mean, I'm just doing this paperwork, and I'm not the one doing this. I mean, somebody's going to fill out the injunction form anyway. I might as well
Might as well be me.
Right. Well, that's an argument that, because people, when, like, the whole Miley Cyrus thing came out, that was one woman's response. And she was like, well, here's what's going on in Miley's mind. Because, you know, for the feminist movement, right, it's better if we all don't act like that. But for her, it's better to do that because she's going to get paid for it. And if she doesn't do it, then somebody else is going to get paid for it. It may as well be her.
Yeah. Yeah, take that.
But yeah, people suck. The end.
Yeah. Moving on. Zappity Grumble.
Yes, that segue sets nicely into Zappity Grumble. Oh,
with our new system.
Does anybody have a timer?
Somebody time us. I've got the questions.
I don't know if I have a timer in my
head. I got a timer.
My thing's about to die.
We're going to do 20 minutes from now on for Zappity Grumble, so whether it's...
Well, at least we're going to try it this week.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see whether it's our incompetence that get us through 1 to 3 questions, or if that'll actually encourage us to go through them faster. So if we don't read your question, it's probably our fault.
That's almost definitely true.
I have a.
It should not take this long to start a timer.
Right. Well, I was going to try to use my battle timer from my war machine thing. I don't have an actual, like...
I have a timer.
Okay.
So we need 5 minutes of time to set our timer for the 20 minutes. And then we will have an actual... We need
a quick little incompetent time.
See, here's my clock, and then it says stopwatch, and then I'll hit start. Go.
All right,
that won't buzz when we hit 20. All right, we'll just keep an eye on it.
My drudges, 30, are on the way. Overlords, 2. Opinions? Pound better than Banes.
You want to do all min units, so those extra ones may only come into play if you're able to make more, but you never want to take those units more than min, because if you lose a leader, they're useless.
Yep, 3 mins.
Yep.
All right.
Zabby.
Grumble.
I hate that I need a ridiculously huge box to transport my mercenaries for a 3-list format tournament. Is there a way around that and still be competitive?
No.
Zabby.
Grumble.
You're given a heavy warjack as a late Christmas present. What kind of warjack is it, and what name do you give it?
Zappity?
Wow.
And the other one is Grumble.
Those would be the names of our checks, yes. What do your scores look like at the end of a game of Terra Mystica? How many VPs?
Oh, gosh. Man.
There's an interesting... I tried to post it on our forums, and I was phone posting, and it was a disaster to try to copy and paste it. But there's an online website where you can play Terra Mystica, and they have... hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games that have been played, and they have the average score of each of the races and the win percentage of each of the races, and it's really interesting. Like, the average final score for Darklings, who are the highest, is like 130, and the average score for Fakirs is like 104, because they're the worst.
Our games, we never really got over 100, I don't think. We still haven't played it only around 10 times. We never broke away the 100 marks. We haven't maximized the game. Yeah. But I do know you can get over the 100s. We are still like, our high scores were in the 80s.
I was going to say, we had a win that was in the 70s once.
Yeah.
The average score, like, totally in this thing seemed to be about 115 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not for us.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
No. All right.
Zeppy.
Grumble.
You can make a slap bet with one other co-host. Who is it?
Nathan.
Jeremy.
I rescind my decision.
Wait.
I think Nathan would slap harder, so I don't want to pick Nathan.
I plan on winning.
And Katie has elected him as slapping Jeremy, so I would no part of that.
I don't know. Everybody, I want to pick myself just to be part of the group.
I have a lot
they
of
both inner, pick, Nick I have and a lot of switch, they're both me now.
I have a lot of inner rage, don't pick me.
My other choice was I was gonna say Katie, but I wasn't gonna slap her on the face.
Oh wow.
It would be more of a spank bat,
like,
at that point.
On the wrist? Like a slap
No, it was a sexual thing. I was going to spank you.
Oh. Yeah. On the wrist?
Yes.
No.
You're a dirty girl, and just spank that wrist.
Stephanie.
Grumble. Starting circle in a Journeyman League. What do I pick up next week to get to 15 points?
Does he already
is
have
that
the
Kaya
box?
Battle Box, or is that an Alt Barrel to Box?
Either way, it's Shifting Stones.
Good point.
Plus UA.
Stalker.
No, to get to 15 points.
To get to 15 points.
The battle group is like already like 12 or 13. Because it's two Arguses and a Feral.
Yeah. Yeah, so Shifting Stones is probably the right choice.
Shifting Stones plus UA.
Maybe Druids, hypothetically, maybe, if you can squeeze them in, but they're probably too expensive. Oh, aren't they like 5'8"? They're super expensive.
Yeah,
never mind.
You could get a Druid Wilder in there.
That's the other thing I thought about, was a Druid Wilder, but I think in that battle box, the Shifting Stones buy you more. Because you get some fury management, and you get the teleportation, which is just bonkers good in Battle Box.
Right.
Cool.
So. Zappity.
Grumble.
Now that Frankenstein is out, what does Nathan think of the abomination that is I, Frankenstein?
We will find out next week.
That'll be posted next week. Right. Our reactions to that in a new feature.
Your timers.
That'll be on our YouTubes.
All right. Who wins in a fight? Oh, sorry. Zappity.
Grumble.
Who wins in a fight? Drunk Borka or Stoned Balder?
Stoned people don't fight.
That's true.
Valid point. Yeah.
Yeah. Valid.
Yeah.
What second Jack to put with Bart Galleon?
If
any, I'd say Vanguard.
Snapjaw.
Yes, Snapjaw. Better answer. Better answer.
Good job. I have a Twitter up, by the way.
Well, we're almost out of time. Anybody's zapping?
No, that's been used 4 minutes.
It's counting backwards.
It's counting down.
Oh, you did start it going backwards.
Oh, Jesus.
You're staring at the thing counting down.
I thought
we
had 4 minutes. I was like, crap.
So 9 is a bigger number than 8. And then 7 comes after that as
a
smaller number.
Yeah. Okay. See, because everyone complained when I had it counting up, so I switched it.
So, Jeremy, right now it says 1548. Now, if we hold up a couple seconds. Now, watch. Hold on. I want to show you something. Now it says 1543.
Okay,
now,
when I looked at it, it was on the pause screen, and all I could see was a timestamp, and I just looked at it real quick and went, oh crap, it's already at 16 minutes.
Uh-huh.
All right, anyway.
There is no pause screen.
You're on screen. Like, this.
He has no concept of time.
All right, continue going. You're wasting our listening.
We've only
time.
Got like 4 minutes left because it's 1525 already.
Fuck you guys. How long until Privateer has a tournament format like the Pro Bowl? Didn't there used to be a Franken format, or was that a Beanishism or St. Louis special?
There's a Frankenstein 666 format where you could take one of anything in the game. It was basically any model. Everything was character, and you could take whatever faction, anything, just put it in one list and play.
Wow.
They did it around Halloween a lot.
So what's the 666 stand for?
Because that's how many points you could take.
Because back then, you'd normally play 500-point games, so I don't know what they would do today.
It'd be like a 40. That's 42-ish size-wise, but it would be, everything became FA1, but there was no factions.
Everything was one faction, basically.
Wow. Yeah. That seems good.
It might be something we do sometime.
Yeah. I mean, instead there's who's the boss now. Whatever.
Which is fun.
Zapple.
Grumble.
ask this on Twitter, but just double posting here. Thank you, Professor Lust. Do you think there are any Signar matchups that bother Lucant? Are there Signar matchups that bother Xerxes? So, Lucant first, you would know.
Lucant's super happy against shooting, so it would be some kind of melee-heavy thing. Like, I know there's ones that can deliver, like, a Stormclad a million miles. And maybe wreck some stuff.
E. Haley.
Yeah. I mean, well, E. Haley's annoying, but... Yeah. I think Luke Kant is Convergence's best answer against Circle in general. So it's
you mean against Signar?
Signar, that's what I meant. Yeah, sorry.
What about like Striker 2, somebody like that? Is that a problem?
I mean, yeah, I mean it can be. I mean, Lucan's got big armor. Anything that can drop, if you can deliver hard hitting stuff to drop, assuming he's like bringing lots of the medium base guys, right. If you can drop those guys in one turn, because if you don't drop them in one turn, then he's going to feat, repair them all up, and be armor a million the next turn.
Yeah.
And so if you can deliver Weapon Masters somehow, if you can deliver, like I said, a Stormclad or something like that from a long distance, you just have to hit him hard with melee.
But the Weapon Master option is like Forge Guard and Signar, which is
right,
not
exactly
getting there.
So if you can deliver a lot of hard hitting melee, which I don't think Signar does in general, so
not well.
No.
Yeah.
And their guns aren't, I mean, it'll be, I don't think Xerxes is too afraid of most of it. P-Haley could slow him down, but I think they could still AoE fire him up enough that their infantry would be burned to death.
Yeah, and P-Haley wants no part of getting hit by Accuari or Incendiari.
It'd be a rough game, but I think Xerxes could handle it.
Makes sense.
Zebedee.
Grumble.
Pop. Proper beard conditioner, soup, or that stuff them damn hipsters are talking about?
The what?
I don't know.
What do you put in your beard?
What do you put in your beard,
Super
Andy?
Super pomade. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
Honestly, I put in the same thing I put in my hair. I just use conditioner. You know.
All right. Nathan?
I just trimmed mine way down. Mine isn't even like, you know.
It isn't that bushy, no, actually. I hadn't really noticed.
Bushy anymore.
I don't really look at you that often because it's.
I try to avoid all of your faces.
Jeremy
uses face wash.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's not really a beard conditioner, but that's what I use to clean my beard. Yeah.
Because it's on your face.
Because it's on my face.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. Grumble, I guess. If you can kill off any character in the game for story development, who would it be and why?
Does it have to be a playable character?
Just says character, so anyone in the fluff, I guess.
I don't know the fluff that well.
Yeah.
I know Mosar is like a big deal.
I mean, kill off Striker.
Well, you kill Striker in the fluff.
Any leader of a Cassius kingdom
is a huge deal in the fluff too.
Any leader of a, like if
that's what I meant.
Guido died or someone like that. Or if Torok died, like if the dragons like like that could just shake shit up huge. But
that would actually be kind of freaking amazing if like Torok or Everblight died.
Yeah,
that would be weird. I don't know how that would work. Be kind of cool.
Nisser, kill Nisser.
Hasn't that kind of already sort of happened?
No, isn't he still, like, frozen, and then
yeah, they're hauling him back.
He stole his sword and everything.
Yeah, and then they're hauling his body back to...
Yeah.
To
kill him off, see what happens.
Yeah.
Kill a god. I don't care which god. Just kill a god.
Just any god, just kill him. Okay.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Could Jeremy be better at War Machine or Hordes if Katie let him practice more?
I mean, everyone gets better with practice. Well, hopefully.
Sometimes.
Practice makes permanent.
Yes.
Yes.
Doesn't always make perfect, but it does make permanent.
Perfect practice makes perfect.
Yes. All right. Well, that's it for Facebook.
So we're on the Twitters.
I'd like to think I'd be better at practice.
Pip asks, what's the best way to win Firefly board game? Moral or amoral?
Moral, because the amoral characters are all crappy.
Well, it's nice to play it once in a while, though, too.
They are, but like...
They're crappy, but they don't have to worry about... That's...
But you have to...
Moral characters are better, but you might lose your whole fucking team.
You could.
I mean, that's the mitigating factor.
I tried to play Amoral a couple of times, and like the benefits you get from being able to just, oh, I can just do an Amoral quest and I don't care, didn't balance out the fact that my crew was a bunch of schlubs.
The correct answer is Hillbillies in Space. Those guys were amazing.
They're really good.
Fucking unstoppable.
Well, at Comet, which happened to be was the only thing
that mattered. I had to hack that one time, and I just rolled a 6 and then another 6, so I just hacked by sheer random 1 in 36 chance.
By sheer luck.
Good old Hillbillies in Space.
There you go.
Most things have, do you want to do hacky stealth or murder the world?
And so
when you have enough Hillbillies, you just murder your way through.
That's true. That's pretty much what he did. And every once in a while, they'd have to go pick up more hillbillies somewhere.
Yeah, there's no shortage of hillbillies.
Zappity?
Gumble?
Travis asks, should I check to stand up? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was not what he asked. I misread that.
You misread that question.
He asked, what board game are you most looking forward to in 2014? Question mark.
Is there a new board game coming out?
Well, I have done the Kickstarter for the Shadows Over Brimstone from Flying Frog Productions. That's coming out. So I'm excited for that because everybody's paid for it.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
And Flying Froggy is always good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they make Fortune and Glory, which I love.
Which is amazing, yeah.
I wait until Brian buys a game, and then I determine whether I'm excited. I'm
buying games. You guys are ones buying games for a while.
No, you just said that you did a Kickstarter.
Yeah, I bought games. I bought stuff. I mean, I'll have it in August, but I'm not spending new money on new games this year. I'm only getting expansions for my current games.
Brian, what are we supposed to do?
You're supposed to buy games for Nathan so I can play them.
Why would I buy games for me?
Or buy it for Jeremy so I can play them. However you want to work
why
it out.
Why is it still not me? You're like buying Nathan.
You
buy
like buying Jeremy. Gifts. Gifts are fun for you, so I'm trying to make it fun for people. You can buy it, you can wrap it, you can give it to them, they open it.
You get to buy, wrap, and give. I get to own a game. Brian gets to play the game.
I don't really like to wrap presents.
You okay? Then you make Jeremy do it.
I don't wrap.
When he goes on a Wednesday to go play War Machine, make him come home and wrap my presents.
Stephanie.
In the game, I have like 20 games I own that have never hit the table with this group. I need to, like, we need to start working our way through our old collections here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm not buying games as well, too. Yeah. So,
Grumble.
Yeah, exactly.
Will the big TempleCon reveal be the next Hordes faction? I'm going to stick with my no answer. I think it is.
If there is a big reveal, what else could it be?
I don't know.
Is it a big reveal, but it's not really going to be that exciting?
I expect a new Merc contract.
That was what I said yesterday. You're stealing my answer.
I didn't hear you say that.
I think it's a new Merc contract that lets you take the Cephalix, the Crix. Well, it is the Cephalix, right?
Yeah, that could actually be.
And has that new... Because remember, they spoiled that picture like a couple of months ago.
That picture's probably a WA.
You're stealing my idea.
Well, it was my idea first.
I never heard you say it.
I stated it to several people
I just
yesterday.
Said it on the air first, so obviously
Several people.
Several people.
The issue is there's no fluff justification for the Cephalix being in the Mercs faction. None. They're not mercenaries. They're mind-raping demons.
Right.
So, like, you don't get to pay them $20 to work for you.
Well,
so,
it seems like mind-raping demons
You will now.
Yeah,
okay.
See, it seems like mind-raping demons, you know, very similar to lawyers.
It'll be a very dark-focused merc thing. It'd be like the, you know, underground mercs.
Sure.
Boo.
Yeah, I'm guessing you won't be able to play Connie Blaze with them.
Two words. Katie's doing charades here. Two words. Sounds like tassels.
Is it tassels? Tassel or tassels?
It is tassels.
All right. Elvira Mystics in the Dark.
Is it a jackal? A jackal?
It's a right. cougar.
It's a jackal.
It's a jackal.
All right,
jackal.
We're getting close to the end here.
Zappity.
Grumble.
By not signing... This is Road to War asks.
All right.
What?
By not... I'm not... They must have stumbled across
our
Twitter.
They're like celebrities.
Yes. By not signing up for the Mayhem Cup, is Nathan in the running for stealing John's title of Master Ducker?
Nathan doesn't have an entire website dedicated to his ducking timer.
I just had to buy a new car, and so I am so broke right now. Like... single-digit bank account kind of things. Like, gee, I have to make sure that when I go to the gas station on Wednesday, I only put in a gallon and a half so I have enough gas to make it to payday on Friday kind of situation. So, unfortunately, not going
to
make it.
To be fair, last week he did have double digits in his bank account last week. He got a very small car.
Yeah. I got a Hot Wheel. I got a Power Wheel. I got a Power Wheel for $50. I'm just driving around.
I'm surprised that it can hold a gallon of gas.
Yeah, well, I know I just carry the gallon of gas in a jug on my lap.
He drinks to stay warm.
He's drinking to stay warm because I'm in Wisconsin winter
in a power
on
wheel.
Top of a power wheel. Yeah.
He just has a giant big gulp
yeah.
with gas in it.
I mean, I was hopeful that with the tax money I could go down there, visit my daughter, do the Mayhem Cup and everything, but I'm just too... I'm Marshall poor.
No.
Yeah.
No, you have an apartment.
Yes.
So Marshall has an apartment now. Marshall and Keith and Chad got a place.
Yeah, but for like the longest time.
Well, Marshall, yeah,
he
was,
still had an apartment.
Yeah. Well, he had a place to stay. It just wasn't his.
Zappity.
Grumble.
The Troll Patrol asks,
"More? Podcasts.
Will you pay the troll tax? Sorry,
the troll toll.
Troll toll.
To get in that boy's hole.
They ask
the boy's soul.
Boy's hole.
Boy's soul.
Boy's hole. Yes. Pay the troll toll to get that boy's soul.
Are you going to TempleCon this year? Will I get to meet you? No and no.
Well, no, and yes, but not at TempleCon.
Nope,
yes.
Never. We're going to completely avoid you. The
I was originally going to go there, but I'm going to Manowar.
Yeah,
yeah. I really wanted to go.
We almost went.
I really, really wanted to go to TempleCon.
Take a train.
But
I
decided I couldn't do that and Lock and Load. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
So I signed up for the Chicago event yesterday when I thought I was going to be able to go before I bought a car. But I just signed up and said, "Yeah, I'm in." And the guy PM'd me and he's like, "I need your name." And I was like, oh, man, that hurts. Like, just when I thought my internet fame, like, everybody knew my real name, he's like, yeah, I'm on a podcast. I can't remember everybody's names. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's
too?
I gotta say, so the guy who ran, he ended up playing because he's going to Pecan to practice. It's a manual class. He's a cool guy. He's from the Remove from Play podcast. They're part of the hand cannon. Like we're part of we're part of the Muse on Minis community. They're part of the hand cannon community. And he definitely, like, we say we're on a podcast. We joke about it. We don't really think highly of ourselves. But he actually has, like, some respect for his podcast. He's like, I'm on a podcast. We do these things, and we did this other thing. And, like, he thinks of it as, like, a thing to be happy and proud about.
You know what it takes to be on a podcast? Buy a microphone. Ta-da!
I didn't even buy a microphone.
Hey, Alex and JR proved that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if Clockwork Vox is even, so you can't be proud of being on a podcast anymore.
What's the name of that podcast?
Clockbox Vox?
There you go. Thank
Vox
you.
Populi.
Vox Populi.
Work what Vox. Does the Vox say? I want to do a remix with What Does the Vox Say, and they just have noises of JR and Alex.
Yes!
Somebody make that happen.
You know, right now, as soon as Alex listens, he's like, damn it, that should have been our idea. Yes. He's going to be just pissed off that we thought of it first.
Hey, Alex, do that and then submit it to us so that we can make fun of you by airing it, and then you're allowed to use it afterwards.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Done.
So, yeah, so that.
Here's the thing. I'm on a podcast, so I can't remember everyone. How about there are a lot of people in the community, and I can't remember everyone?
How about those 400 freaking podcasts?
I was joking. You know? Yeah, I know.
So, he also said to me, he's like, So when I go to when I'm at an event, I'm always kind of I don't try to like say I'm going to kick some butt today. I'm always like I'm kind of like the John Damaris like I'm going to lose a lot. I need to play smart. I'm like you know I'm trying to think of how to modify my score. And he's like, well, I talk to Nick and Trevor a lot, and I'm like, oh, you see, he's bringing up the two guys that are on the Scornicast episode. You know, yeah. Like that's going to make me feel any better.
Yeah, thanks like, for that. Yeah,
thanks for bringing up the guys I don't give a shit about right now.
Yeah,
as your sources for like, oh, I talk about cricks with them. I call them weekly on the phone. I talk to them.
Like, I still like getting a kick out of people like talking about like you know, oh, like Keith. And it's like whatever. I played with that guy all the time. Like I'm not impressed by Keith as like some god or a celebrity. You know,
no. Yeah.
Like JVM or Flat. I just can't. Yeah, they're good players, but calm down, you know?
If you
played as much War Machine as Keith Christensen or Flanger do, you would be Pagani's in the running.
Pagani should be your example. Pagani's
a better example. If you put in the time that Pagani puts into the game, you would be at least in the same area of skill level as Pagani is.
Yeah.
Like, he's put in the time, and he continues to put in the time to practice, and so do those other guys. That's why they're that good.
That's one of the many reasons they're good.
I mean, yeah.
Well,
it's
yes.
A big factor.
They're intelligent people.
You put 1,000 yes. hours of practice into anything, you'll be good at it.
Exactly.
Like, that's an old saying.
Yes.
But it's true, though. It's like the guy who like got the Donkey Kong record. He, like, he lost a job. Like, you know what? I'm going to beat Donkey Kong the high score, and he just spent 8 months at it and got the high score. But he never played it before that. He's like, I'm going to do this random thing.
Yeah.
And if you just really to put all your life into something, you can be good at it.
Yeah. Surprisingly fascinating movie, by the way, yes. King of Kong.
Unfortunately, it's really out of... I read more about it afterwards. It's a fascinating movie, but when you read about it, you realize that the order of events wasn't actually accurate from the movie.
Yeah.
But the characters, people... One minute warning, still by true. The way.
In the post Bowling for Columbine world, you can't trust film documentaries anymore. Yeah, unfortunately. They fuck things up.
You can watch them and go, that's interesting, but you have to do research afterward to see how much of it's actually true.
Yeah. It's all in the editing.
Was that the last question?
Yeah, sure.
That was good. We had a good
We got
time.
42 more seconds. Is there another question?
Come on. What's a good anti-Crix matchup someone asked? For Menoth.
Yeah, whatever.
For Menoth? Baseball bat.
For Menoth?
Baseball bat.
Baseball bat.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the best board games to cause players to declare blood oaths to one another? With us, anything?
No, it's clearly nothing personal.
No, a blood oath, you meaning like we're blood brothers?
No, like I'm going to murder you.
I'm going to kill you.
It's nothing personal.
It's nothing personal.
In this group, it's nothing personal. The actual answer is diplomacy.
Also true.
It's just this group will not play diplomacy because of that.
Too easy.
And we're done.
What? There were 3 seconds left.
There were, but Brian closed his iPad. So.
I closed the iPad.
Wow.
All right. I think we did pretty good, zappity grumbling it up.
Just a real quick thing for the Games Workshop thing. I was not planning on being here this week, and so I did not prepare appropriately for it, so that'll be next week to look at the financials of that.
Okay. But it's totally going to be next week.
But it's totally going to be next week, legit. I thought I was going to be in Illinois still, and then Nate Newby was supposed to be here, and then, as it turns out, I was in Illinois until 3 o'clock. So.
Well, you were here at 3.
I was here at 3, so I was in Illinois until 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
We're to the crazy part of the day, I think.
Yeah.
Andy just found a picture of Superman Domu, Domakun, who's adorable. I don't know why he found that, but he did. It's recommendations time.
It is recommendations
recommendation time. My new recommendation.
That's your new jingle?
Yeah, my new jingle.
To tie it in with the current event style or announcements one, whatever the hell it was.
It's all coming back together. Nathan, go.
Why?
Where can we always work our way around?
Why can we start with you?
Because I said Nathan, go. We start somewhere different. We never start with Nathan.
Oh.
We started with Andy last time.
Damn it, I'm pulling an Andy. I had one. I forgot what it was. Shit. I'll remember. Come back to me. I'll remember.
Do not go to me.
Is it me then?
It is.
Sure, it's you.
I'm going to recommend Oberweis. It's delicious.
The dairy company?
Yep.
Or just everything by them?
Everything they make is delicious.
They do make good stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's my recommendation.
It's Oberweis dairy.
Okay. All right, then. I guess I'll allow it.
I wouldn't. Except for if you can do Babcock's ice cream, I would do that.
Babcock's is also delicious.
Ice cream. I recommend dairy products and ice cream.
Unless you're Jordan, our local Jordan,
then I you should not eat not dairy. Eat
we
dairy.
Should have a timer on our recommendations too.
but would it count up or count down? poor Jeremy would get.
I was so confused.
That's it.
Did on me.
Oh, I know what my recommendation was.
What
is
it?
It's similar to last week in that I'm going to represent an artist and just see anything from their category of work. And it's actually in the same thing. Last week I recommended a director. I'm going to do the same thing.
Jackson Pollock?
Any movie that... See every possible Coen Brothers film. If there's a Coen Brothers film, if you've never seen any Coen Brothers film, go kill yourself.
Could you give an example of a Coen Brothers film?
Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Raising Arizona? The Hudsucker Proxy? What are some other recent ones? Burn After Reading, Barton Fink, Fargo. I mean, they're all masterpieces.
Well, they're enjoyable movies. I'm not gonna. Like, sorry.
Okay, they all vary from 8s to 10s on a scale of 1 to 10. Like, I don't think they've got a single crap movie. Are there any Coen Brothers movies you think are actually bad?
I can't. I've seen all of everything you mentioned. I've enjoyed at some level.
Yeah,
but Fargo bugs me a little bit. But
Big Lebowski. They're just all like the Coen Brothers, and if you've seen like a few of the more mainstream ones like Big Lebowski and stuff like that, and you haven't seen older things like Barton Fink or Raising Arizona, do so, see them. The other great thing about Coen Brothers is there are just wacky slapsticky comedies like Raising Arizona or Hudsucker Proxy, and then there's like total serious dark dramas like what was the more recent A Serious Man, things like that, and they run the gamut so much that there's no one style, so they're all different. Like Fargo is nothing like Hudsucker Proxy. And that's just a sign of...
The dialogue in that movie is great.
Yeah.
They usually
it's a very fast-paced...
Well, because it's supposed to be like that 50s, high-pants, fast-talking thing, and so it feels that way.
The first time I watched it, I'm like, I didn't like it, but then I watched it the second time, and I was like more like in the mood for it, and I was like, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that, like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou just seems like it's just like a standard prison movie and such, but it's just a retelling of the Iliad.
Yep.
Which is...
Really cool.
Yeah.
I'd actually heard that before I saw it, and I was kind of sad that I'd been told it beforehand.
I mean,
it would have been a cooler thing to figure out, like, partway through the movie, go, oh man, this is the Iliad.
They have made one horrible movie that's pretty lame, and that is No Country for Old Men, which is a complete piece of shit. But other than that...
Which, hilariously, they've got two movies that were like, that one was based on a book, and then the other one, Lady Killers, which is a remake, are probably their two worst films. Although I don't hate No Country for Old Men as much as everybody else does, but
it's hard to hate it more than I hate
it. I like 75% of the movie.
Right. But, I mean, just the Coen Brothers. See their stuff.
All right. I'm actually going to recommend something War Machine related. I know this is shocking and appalling, but I'm going to recommend that people practice more and try different things. And I know that sounds pretty generic, but, like,
And hypocritical.
Well, it's not hypocritical because it's something that I myself am wanting
to
do.
Why didn't you stick around on Wednesday then in practice?
You should have stuck around on Wednesday then and practiced.
Anyway, try different things. Don't just try... Like, admittedly, most factions have these are the two casters that most people bring to a tournament. But, for instance, somebody brought Circle yesterday and they had Baldur 2, Epic Kruger... Or Baldur 1, Epic Kruger. And I was like, that's actually a legit ball-busting combo. You don't have to bring Morvana. Try other things. They can be amazing. Like Brian said, Baldur 1 wrecks his list. Rex it more if you remember that Acura I have drag, but but
just put a shifting stone instead in front of
Balder. And then you win.
There was a flag in front of Balder.
That doesn't help at all. So try things and practice them. Just because you've played a list once doesn't mean you can play it and do well with it at a tournament. And also, in my opinion, most good practice is at tournaments. So don't be afraid to bring a list you don't know to a tournament and try it out and see where its flaws are and then fix it and bring it to another tournament. That's how you develop a good, new, innovative list.
Stress test.
Yeah. Because playing it in a casual format is very, very different.
Tassels.
I want to do it to Nathan, but he wasn't looking at me.
Anyway, that's my recommendation.
Okay. Andy?
My small recommendation is to do your best to not listen to the reviews or opinions other people have about a movie before you see it.
Good recommendation, actually.
Yeah. I only partially agree with that.
Yeah.
An overall score isn't a terrible idea.
Yeah. Well, like Rotten Tomatoes, if it's under 20%, you don't see that movie.
that kind of review is different.
I mean, because that's my gauge. Under 20%, I won't, because everyone hates it. If it's above 20, who knows? I like so many things that are like, you know, whatever. Sure. But yeah, you should. That's my caveat. I mean, I think you're right for the most part.
Yeah.
And even then, you're not looking at specific information, reviews, and opinions. You're just looking for a general,
the overall feel of it.
Of a consensus.
Yeah. We're performing an experiment. We have Katie and Nathan who I made orders for them not to look at Rotten Tomatoes. And we're going
to
go watch it
tomorrow
night.
I have no idea if it's good or bad. I mean, the reviews.
I'm sure it's terrible.
I haven't looked.
So we're going to have our group. We're going to try something special with that and see how that goes. We'll record a video for it. But yeah, try to avoid them. I mean, who knows? You might actually like the movie that everybody hates.
Yeah, and the other thing is, these days it's so hard not to know exactly what all the plot twists are in a movie if you look at any review or most of the commercials for them.
The trailers are horrible.
Destroy your enjoyment of the movie these days.
And sometimes trailers are just like wrong. I unfortunately can't think of an example. But I've gone to see a movie where the trailer isn't nothing like the trailer. It's like, I saw a movie and I'm like, well, that's not at all what I. And sometimes it's a good thing, but trailers sometimes.
I forget what it was. There was recently a movie that I went to see. I was like, that's not at all what I thought it was from the trailer. And that was amazing. And the trailer looked dumb.
Was American Hustle? I think it was a little bit like that. Was
there? I didn't see American Hustle yet.
Sometimes, like, you know, some movies you should have secrets going into them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know, maybe you're supposed to think that Ender's Game is a game.
Yeah.
might be the whole premise of the story.
Right. Or like, imagine, like, it's going back, this didn't happen, but imagine if you'd gone to see a trailer for The Usual Suspects, and at the very end, all it showed was Kevin Spacey walking upright and not stumbling. Like, that's all it was. They just showed a clip of that for 5 seconds, and you go into the movie and you're like, the fuck? Like, I just wasted my life.
I could rant for days on how much movie a movie trailer should not show me anything from the third act of a movie. There should never be a scene in a trailer from the last
world,
three.
There's a guy who doesn't know that he's dead. His name, Bruce Willis. The Fifth Element, coming soon. Not Fifth Element, Sixth Sense.
Fifth Element, that's even better.
Fifth Element, even better. That'd be great if Bruce Willis... Maybe he's a ghost in Fifth Element. I should rewatch that.
You should rewatch it and pretend that's just true. Yes. And see how it goes.
We all lament about how horrible episode one was for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
We're so happy when we saw the trailer.
When you saw that trailer, though, the scene in there where they have Darth Maul and the double lightsaber.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how awesome that would have been to actually have that spoiled? Revealed in the film itself?
Yeah.
That too many orgasms would have happened in the theater from too many nerds.
Oh my god.
The whole theater would have passed out. Yeah. Like, it just happened.
No, they didn't because need we that were for already the trailer. So upset by the time that happened.
No one was. I'm sorry. I saw the movie opening day. People were very excited about the movie, even at first week. This whole backlash didn't happen for almost a year or two later.
Yeah.
I was disappointed when I saw it. And I saw
most
it the first
people,
day.
Most when I almost we weren't running, but almost everyone I know. No one thought it was bad. People said, oh, I didn't like the setting. The midi-chlorians may have been dumb. But there was no that was a bad movie. It was like, okay, a couple things bugged me, but they still saw it multiple times in the theater. They were still happy.
It's flawed, but not bad. Like, I would say, like, because, you know, the midi-chlorians is kind of dumb. And the
Anakin being seven is dumb.
Well.
But that didn't bother a lot of people. That was like a young
it was more so him just
why is C-3PO
his acting.
There?
His acting was really more annoying to me than
Jake Lloyd was not the best actor. No. It was mostly nitpicky things. Not super nitpicky, but like flaws, not the movie as a train wreck. It wasn't like Attack of the Clowns bad.
If two and three, if those two movies would have been good, the first movie would have been much more forgiven. You would have forgiven it.
I could have forgiven the fact that there were three movies that were bad.
Yeah. Right, like the original trilogy. Yes. Episode 4 is not that good compared to the other two. It's the worst of the three.
It is the worst easily. Of the three. Oh, yeah.
And if it was an individual standalone film, it would be good-ish. Yeah,
it'd be enjoyable.
Enjoyable. It's only great because it's part of the trilogy, and the rest of the trilogy is astounding.
Well, people lost their shit when it came out. But for long-term, probably correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it could have been forgotten. It would have been a half-forgettable, hey, you ever hear of this movie? It's kind of neat 70s flick. We should check it out, if it had been a one-off film.
Yeah. Yes, probably true. Empire Strikes Back, on the other hand, as a one-off film, would have been the most amazing movie of all time.
No.
It's the best of the trilogy.
That doesn't mean it's the best of the trilogy,
but by itself, it has so many plot lines that just are not there.
That trilogy works because it's a trilogy.
Yeah, had they not made Return of the Jedi, you'd be like, well, that
it would not be a good... If it was all... I mean, that's kind of neat, but again, it would not have the things that built it or...
Yeah, Han is captured, Luke
I guess that's true. I guess it's a really depressing end without a third movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and even not only that, but just the things that happen in it that are only amazing because they were built up in the first film. Like, that's his dad, I guess. Okay, whatever. Like, these things needed to be built
into. You don't have that whole movie, not to mention years of time that most people saw in between the movies.
It only works as the peak of a trilogy. It's
funny story. I only saw the first one and the third one the longest time. I didn't see Empire Strikes Back years after saw. I never saw the second one. I just saw the first one and the third one. Probably five to 10 years after I saw the first two. I saw the second one. And I was blown away. Like, holy fuck. That's amazing.
Brian, you'll remember this. But the worst part about episode one was seeing the trailer. Because of the movie that we had to go see to watch that trailer.
Wing Commander.
Oh, I saw Wing Commander.
I saw that movie too.
It was so bad. I tried what? It was on TV recently.
I love those games
much. Games are great. Mark Hamill. Speaking of Star Wars, yes, Mark Hamill,
yeah.
But if...
Speaking of Star Wars, they're bringing back some... I had a deal with old Indiana Jones. They're bringing all the characters... They're bringing so many of the characters back for the movies. And it makes me scared for the new Star Wars movies. Like, I'm excited for the new Star Wars movies, but, like,
new Star Wars movies?
They're making more Star Wars movies.
How did I miss that?
Jeremy, my God.
No, like, seriously.
I didn't think I had to tell you because why wouldn't you know?
Seriously.
J.J. Abrams is making this episode 7.
What?
Yes.
I think you're faking. No. Now I completely think you're faking.
No. How did no one tell me this?
Because the world knows! The sky is blue, Disney Jeremy. Should I tell you the sky is blue?
Disney bought the rights.
When Disney bought the rights...
I heard about that.
They bought the rights for the movies. They didn't just buy the rights for the helmets.
Well, I heard that maybe someday a movie might happen.
It was like immediately after the acquisition they announced that Star Wars 7 is happening.
People are being cast for... Like, characters' names have been released. Like,
what? When is it coming out?
It's a couple years away yet.
Okay.
All
right, so I didn't, miss something that's coming out 3 months or something.
Yeah, it's out tomorrow.
They finished the script. They just finished
it. The script exists. Character names are out there because casting has begun. It's in pre-production.
But they're bringing Princess Leia is going to be in it.
Okay.
And I guess if they bring him in as the old people who are like it's our kids running around, maybe we'll see what they do. But
because I know that I forget the character's name, but Solo, their daughter, they're casting her.
Jaina.
I don't remember which one. I only know because
Jaina's the only daughter of Han and Leia.
Well, in the books that exist currently.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They're like redoing the.
Who knows how much of the canon they're going to stick
to. That I had heard that they were redoing the canon.
The best little subtle thing that I'm excited about with Disney owning Star Wars is not new films, it's being able to finally once again see the old films.
Yes.
Because Lucas doesn't own those fuckers anymore.
Nope.
Lucas had the Disney has no emotional attachment to having Hayden Christensen's ghost in episode 6.
No.
Disney likes money. Uh-huh. So if Disney releases the original, unedited, Greedo shooting, no Jabba the Hutt in episode 4, no Hayden Christensen ghost, no Luke Skywalker screaming when he apparently accidentally falls down the ventilating shaft in Cloud City instead of committing suicide to avoid joining Vader and turning the dark side, I will buy that fucker. You will make money.
He accidentally falls down.
So when they re-released him, yeah, like, you know when he lets go because he's bravely deciding to die instead of, like, yeah. They added him going, "Aah!" when they re-released the films in the theater because apparently, oops.
Apparently he slipped.
Like, there were a bunch of changes. What? And then they pulled.
That's not nearly as bad as Greedo shooting first.
When they re-released the films in theaters, they had massive changes. And then when these re-releases hit DVDs, they rewound them a lot.
A few of them,
like, yeah. The Greedo shooting, it's like Greedo shoots and Han goes, whoa! And then Han shoots again. Now yeah. It's like simultaneous both shooting-ish, yeah. Kind of-ish.
Greedo definitely fires first, which is still bullshit.
You know when Greedo's supposed to fire?
Never.
Never.
He's supposed to
be
dead.
Not even he's fucking dead.
He's fucking dead.
But, like, they rewound a lot and kind of, like, yeah, but there was a bunch that they changed and then kind of, like, toned back a bit, and that was, they took that scream out. I think in the DVDs he doesn't scream when he falls anymore, but in the theatrical re-release he screams because, oops.
There's very few things I actually like about the changes that Lucas did to the re-release of the Star Wars. I did not mind most of the things he did to Cloud City. Just the overall look of it.
Yeah, he made it look. And even when he did, like, the first movie, when they made
Tatooine,
they made it look, but they made it more bustling city.
And, yeah, more people.
That was stuff I didn't mind, like, the more background things walking around.
When Han runs into the room, instead of 3 stormtroopers, there's like 100.
That's dumb.
I'm okay with it. It's the fucking Death Star.
That's fine.
It's the fucking Death Star. It's full of stormtroopers.
That's okay.
It's funny.
But yeah, that's fine. But yeah, those are minor. Yeah, but changing complete plot points, changing, like, character elements.
Like, Punda Baba. His arm having blood, there shouldn't be blood there.
Yeah, but that's always been like that, though.
Right,
even through the changes.
Like, and that stuff, like, they should have taken out that blood. There shouldn't be blood there. Lightsabers cauterized. There's no bleeding when your arm is chopped off by a laser sword.
He's technically not human. Maybe it doesn't cauterize that alien?
He's immune to... What?
I don't know.
Okay, sure.
Jeremy's still trying to... overcome the Star Wars movies.
All right, so let me ask a question. They've released names of who's going to be in it. Is Thrawn in it by any chance?
No, it's not. It's not the heir to the Empire trilogy. It is not the heir to the Empire
that
trilogy.
That would be amazing.
I know. We all would have just masturbated for the next 2 years. Until
who knows? God. They might have him as a side character. Or something.
That would be
awesome.
Three seconds of Thrawn on screen. Oh my god!
Fun trivia: E.T. from the old film E.T. is a Jedi. Apparently,
that's true. I've read that.
Yeah,
he cracked.
Well, because the E.T. aliens are in the Star Wars mythos now, because in the prequel trilogy, they're in the Senate, because Lucas is a fucking idiot. So they're in the Star Wars mythos. So E.T. takes place, the film takes place in Star Wars mythos. The character E.T. in the film is able to levitate things using the power of his mind.
So he's a Jedi.
He's a Jedi using the Force to fly Elliot's bike.
Oh, God.
Honestly, that actually makes,
except,
it makes sense to me.
One of the only things the Force doesn't let you do is fly.
No, he's levitating the bike.
Yeah,
he's levitating the bike. You can't use the Force on animate matter, but you can on inanimate matter. That's why you can also, like, fling the droids around and shit. He's levitating the bike.
It doesn't matter because it's stupid.
Has anybody watched E.T. recently? Do they still have the drunk E.T. scene?
I think they have the drunk AT scene. They don't have the terrorist costume, and the cops are threatening them with walkie-talkies.
The latest release.
You have
they
both
put the,
versions. Don't
yeah,
they have
the guns back. Instead of flashbacks, they put it more back to normal.
Like, hey, you kid freeze, and they point a walkie-talkie at him.
I heard they took out the drunk ET scene, though. I swear I remember that being...
I don't know if it made the latest version that was put out.
Because the other one was the terrorist costume.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Wow. My mind is exploding right now.
I'm so proud of you.
There's things we don't think we have to tell you.
No.
You do have to tell me.
Jesus Christ.
No, because that was just like a thing that everyone knew about. Like, it was
such a huge deal. It was not like, you don't say.
I remember when they got the rights, and then I remember thinking, when are we going to hear what they're doing with them?
Everywhere, all the time.
It's exactly right. Brian hit it on the nose right there.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. That was a...
Turn on your radio once a week.
You never really know when Jeremy's going to maze you with something. It just kind of comes like... We almost finished a podcast. We only had one more recommendation to go. We were so close to being done.
Sorry.
My favorite thing about Jeremy is, like, I'll talk to people who listen to the podcast, and they'll be like, man, why are you guys always so mean to Jeremy? And then they'll meet him, and they'll be like, oh, I get it.
That's not true.
No, that is true.
Yeah, people said that.
Damn it.
But I love you so much.
So much.
So much.
You shouldn't frown when she says that, though.
I mean, it's like, you know, Brian and I had this term that we used a lot where, you know, people would say something and they would cause a dumb bomb. Basically, everybody in the room just suddenly just becomes more stupider just because of that person there.
More stupider?
More stupider, yep.
I think that's the appropriate term.
But you lay some type of bomb. I have not been able to classify it yet. It's like full of shock and awe.
Yeah, it's something.
Something. It not is. Saying it's a dumb bomb. I'm just saying it's something.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
In this particular case, I will blame myself for not having known that this was a thing.
Who else would you blame, Jeremy?
Well, the four of you for not telling me. I thought you were my friends.
Even those kids in Uganda who are being chased by people trying to kill them, they know there's a Star Wars movie coming out.
I knew about the canon thing. I knew about that.
I haven't got my recommendation yet.
I didn't recommend yet.
Oh, God.
I was going to recommend the thing we play week now. Level 7.
Star Wars 7?
Yeah. Omega Protocol, level 7. It's amazing. We've played it now.
It was really fun.
We played two campaigns. We got the third one coming this week. The first one was... the second one had a couple moments of kind of being rough. We still, the early ones, it's been more like the players have had...
Definite advantage to the players.
I knifed everyone. I was the winner.
Oh, yeah. Who are you? The recon specialist? You should have the recon specialist in the early missions. She's fucking amazing.
Yeah, if you know what Descent is, level 7 Omega Protocol is like a sci-fi version of Descent, basically. One player plays the Overlord. Everyone else tries to run through like a dungeon or a building to complete missions. It's really fun. It's Heavy Rest hit a home run with this game. Yep, the Layers No Quarter had a new mission in it, so we have like a mission like 7.5 in the magazine. So it's cool to get a little mini expansion and
open. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, the No Quarter had a new mission.
That's cool.
What?
Yeah, the No Quarter had a new mission. So
I haven't looked at it.
We have a new mission to play.
We shouldn't look at it.
Not even just as Privateer Press fanboys. Like, if you look on Board Game Geek at the hotness list on the left, level 7 Omega Protocol is on there. It's legitimately in the board game
world. It's got an 8 rating. It's really a well-done game. Obviously, as you play the game, more and more monsters get unlocked for the Overlord to play. So I'm excited to see what I can unleash on you guys in the next few weeks.
Those tiny dice from the old Pirates game and from the Star Wars game, those build and play minis game, I want to use those for War Machine. My opponents would strangle me.
I'm amazed Keith hasn't started doing that yet. Keith loves unreadable dice.
Yeah, these are 1 millimeter size dice.
Yeah, the thing is, though, when they fly off the table, you'll never fucking find them again.
I thought of you the other day. I was reading the rules to something. I think it was the As Spoiled a Serious Feat said, remove one dice.
No.
It did. As Spoiled. Like on the forum post and stuff. It's not actually the way it's worded in the No Quarter, I don't think.
Well, sure.
But yeah. I was chuckling about that. No.
It's remove one of the dice, because of the dice, you remove one of them.
It says I remember reading it.
I mean, someone spoiled it.
Someone spoiled it slightly wrong, but yeah, it made me chuckle.
I'm collecting dice Nathan throws away, so when I play him in a tournament, I can bring out his dice and throw against him to try to like, help get like a psychological edge on him. Like, oh, here.
Why would you need a psychological edge?
Well, if I roll his dice against him and they roll well, I know I can break him.
Just let him roll dice. That's your psychological edge.
I'm going to add another layer.
Here's my psychological. Hey, Nathan, you want to play a game?
I like games without dice.
All right. Anything else? We good?
Good thing we put that timer on Zappy Grumble so we wouldn't go long.
Hey, yeah. I'm sorry. The Star Wars thing needed to be discussed. I apologize. Well,
that was mostly your fault.
No. Yeah, that was my fault.
Completely your fault.
Thank you for tuning in to Crippled System episode 56.
56.
56.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.